much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what are you guys up to?
Oh, a little weird, you know.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, listen, anytime you want me to come on and say something, just you know, and you want to say on the air, I've been on the phone with David Hasselhoff all night. You know, the Hoff loves to rock.
Because that's what champions do.
Hey, everybody here is thinking, you know what, this guy's drunk.
I'd need a flowchart to explain all the ways in which that was ridiculously insensitive.
Drunken frat boy monkey garbage.
I speak drunk.
I'm not going to lie, I feel like running out the gate and getting those six-pack of Budweiser.
Let's talk about what happens in your body when you consume alcohol.
I'm now. When you write it, you have to see it in your mind, right? I mean, it can't have looked like it does.
Our feature presentation.
Standing by that. That was okay.
Well-crafted question.
I do feel like I'm on an acid trip when I hear that sentence. Yeah. It takes me to a place where I'm in some sort of a constant time loop, and I can't get out of it. It's just, it's confusing yet wonderful at the same time. Hey, party people. Welcome into an all-new Kevin and Bean show. It is Thursday. It is the 24th of February, Ola. I don't want to speak for the room. Oftentimes you guys say if I'm into something, you guys are not into it. I mean, automatically
well,
you just...
that's a general rule, yes.
You line up against me, and I don't know about you guys. I'm against child porn. I don't think child porn is a good thing. I don't support it. I don't like it.
I think the room is split on that.
We're against it as well.
Oh, really? Interesting. Something else you agree with me on. How about that? But this is a fantastic story. There's a lot of very bad people out there doing a lot of very, very bad things. And there are, and can you imagine this job? Imagine if you're one of the federal agents whose job it is to troll websites and torrent sites and look for people trading child pornography so that you can build a case against them.
I am Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
So your job is to go on there and pretend to be part of the community and, you know, trade photos and, you know, basically track down IP addresses and you know, go and bust the bad guys and arrest them. And unfortunately, it's a terrible problem and it goes on all the time.
Did you bring condoms with you?
I'm just saying that this guy in Colorado who was arrested this week maybe could have rethought his internet username. Instead of calling himself Pervy McPerv,
I
don't know, something that doesn't quite call as much attention to yourself as Pervy McPerv.
Really? That was his name online?
That was his name online.
I'm in my 40s, but guarantee that I'm not some old guy wanting to perv a young boy.
Yeah.
Contrary to my name.
Pervy McPerv. He sat down and he said, all right, I'm doing something that's not only heinous, it's desperately illegal, and I will go to jail if I'm caught. How can I make sure that I'm not caught? What's the safest name I can come up with? Oh, I got it. Pervy McPerv.
That is shocking, even for dumb...
Yes.
I mean, even for just stupid criminals, it's shocking that they would do that. It's like naming yourself, you know, murder. And you go and kill people.
Like that rapper.
Yeah.
So I think that he gave a tip to the authorities that they maybe ought to keep an eye on what was going in and out of his email. So,
wow.
So, sorry, Pervy McPerv. Looks like you're going to be behind bars for a long time, but that's the way it goes.
He wanted it, didn't he? He wanted to go behind bars with that name.
Maybe. Maybe that was it. Maybe he was begging to get taken away.
Hearing those Chris Hansen drops, it reminds me there was a guy on To Catch a Predator whose screen name was, I Want to Rape You Anally.
Really?
Yeah. Even Chris Hansen to come, he's like, you're not even trying with this screen name here.
Wow.
You know, if you had me naked, I'd want more, right?
I hope that they put him in jail in Colorado with Pervy McPerv.
Wouldn't that be perfect?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Oh, that show, I miss that show so much because he would come across people who've seen the show and people who've been on the show occasionally.
Yeah. And even suspected sometimes
that
this was a trap, but they couldn't help themselves.
Oh, yeah, I've watched this show. And they sit down and talk about it like it's, you know, Tosh.0 or something.
Remember that time you caught that guy?
Yeah. It's really bizarre. And if I'm not positive, I think there was one guy who'd been on the show before himself, right? So Chris Hansen.
But he would have been arrested before, though.
Right. He was.
Oh, he was, and he was a repeat offender?
He was one of the original guys on the show. He came into the house like the other predators. Then on a later season, they actually started meeting guys in a park. And he was one of those guys. And Chris Hansen's like, I think I recognize you.
Oh,
can you imagine?
Now, did they take the show off because that one dude killed himself?
Yes.
I believe so.
That should have spurred them to make more.
Yeah, well, I forget what happened. What happened? They were showing up with the cameras at his house or something. He saw them?
Yeah,
took
I don't
his own
remember.
Life? I can't remember.
Yeah, maybe.
I think I would like to shower with you.
All right. Take it easy. So, yeah, so the guy killed himself, and then I guess they just stopped doing it. But hopefully they're still doing it behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's great.
You know, you don't want Bowie out there. I mean, whatever. It wasn't Bowie, was it? It was, who was it? The high-profile rock star.
Oh, Pete Townsend?
Pete Townsend.
Yeah, doing research. Hey, he was acquitted, man. He was acquitted.
He's doing research.
Art.
Oh, yeah. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeMicho, shall we?
You know why the Armenians like pajama parties? Because they don't have to take off too much.
That's the way to start every day. The just Armenian comedian.
Just miss them.
Yeah. It's illegal for him to contact us right now.
That's how our lives are.
That's where that stands, is we'd like to contact him, and it is illegal. So that's good. On today's show, we have the creator of Family Guy, Seth MacFarlane.
Awesome.
One of our favorite shows.
He's the best.
Got to be one of our favorite shows of all time, right?
Yeah, I agree.
So we're going to talk to him. He's got some huge orchestra deal. He loves himself the singing, and he loves the orchestra, and he's got some tour going on with an orchestra.
Hilarious.
So, hey, take it easy, man. You're ruining the curve for the rest of us. You're already doing Family Guy, and then you got the American Dad spinoff, and then you got the Cleveland Show spinoff. So take it easy. Slow down, because it makes the rest of us look bad. Speaking of slow down, it makes the rest of us look bad. Dr. Drew's on the show today. Ah. We have a weekly segment with him. And Bean, what's your big you want to run by him? I forget. It was something that came
oral
up yesterday.
Oral sex causes cancer. It's all over the news this
oral
week.
Sex causes cancer.
You have oral sex one time, you will die of cancer within a month.
That may be an exaggeration.
That's how I interpreted the headline. I didn't read the whole article.
Yeah, well, maybe you should. Maybe you should, is all I'm saying. We're gonna play a game. Can Kevin repeat this?
Can Kevin repeat this? It's so awesome. We were reminiscing yesterday about how much fun that game was and how long it's been since we played.
Bean was just laughing.
Everybody
like, we
but
play
you.
That again.
So we're gonna do it because Ralph has all these Paley Fest tickets to give away for TV fans, and we thought that'd be a fun way to do it. Fun for everybody.
So would you like to watch a movie with me with your hand down my pants?
Oh. All right, take it easy. We also are going to talk a little bit about American Idol. Apparently, Paula Abdul having a rough go as a judge. She does,
especially
not,
since she hasn't even been on the show for a whole season.
Jennifer.
Well, what did I say? Paula Abdul? Wow. Yeah. Jennifer Lopez. Thank you, Lisa. See, Bean's all smart alecky.
Yeah.
Lisa's nice.
You could just help with the information.
No. Never. Ever. Mr. Skin is going to be on the show
that
today.
Best person in the world ever.
It was Anatomy Awards. And I'm fascinated by best person in the world ever. I like
he
him.
Is. He does a great inspiration to us all.
He does a great service. I'm
Mike,
happy
Mike, back
with
me
him.
Up on this. Is he the best person in the world
no
ever?
One's better. No one does more no one's for better. Humanity.
I agree.
Best person in the world ever, though.
Yes. So
yeah.
Better than Mother Teresa.
Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Yes.
Just want to make sure that we're all on the same page here. So we'll talk to him about nudity in movies. That's his, what he looks at.
that's his job.
Bean, there's constantly, we're finding out weird new things about Bean. Some weeks it's slow and, you know, it's
manageable.
Yeah, you get a couple things per week. This week he's just been on fire.
Yeah.
We almost have to just stop what we're talking about and just go, what? But Ralph brought up a story about a website called Kickstarter, and apparently you go there and you say, I'd like to start a business. Is anybody interested in helping me raise some money for it?
It's just kind of crowdsourcing for funding. If you can't go to the bank and get money, you want to put out an album or make a documentary or buy equipment or something like that, you go to people online and you say, hey, if you believe in this project, I'll give you something down the road if you chip in now. It's a great idea.
What are you looking for? I could be your grandpa.
So, and I'd never heard of that before. Ralph's informing us of the story. And of course, Bean not only has heard of it, but has been on it and is, what did you say? Partially funding many projects?
I've invested in several artistic endeavors that are soon to come to pass. And I'm very, very excited. It's a tremendous website. They're raising over $1 million a week from people who are contributing to get stuff made. I think it's great.
That's
so
impressive.
We're fascinated by which projects Bean picks.
Yes.
Because they're going to be bad.
Because you want to get in on them.
Yeah. Or they're going to be bad.
How dare you?
One or the other. And we're going to talk about embarrassing names as well. I don't know if you remember, we did the story about Harry Balls. They were going to name a building after Harry Balls, who was a mayor back in the 20s and 30s.
He's a good man, Harry Balls.
Yeah. He spelled his name B-A-A-L-S, but called himself Balls his whole life. And then now his family's trying to say Bales. Like, now they're trying to change.
Good luck with that.
But, yeah, it's really, he was known. The guy that got known was known as Harry Balls. So it's the Harry Balls, you know, civil building or whatever. So, and then we know a lot of people who have ridiculous names. I mean, Mike's dad knows a guy named Dick Pound. I mean, come on. It's really bizarre. And some of the celebrities have bizarre names. And you can see, oh, I could see why you would change that immediately. So we got that coming up as well today. And Larry King, comedian. Also, we'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
You are listening to Kevin DeBeach on a Thursday. Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat. Hey, Ralph, what's going on, man?
Well, the judge told Lindsay yesterday she took the plea bargain. There would be jail time. Made it very clear. You will go to jail.
He was a badass, that dude, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was not effing around.
I don't care that you're Lindsay Lohan, he told her.
Did he say that? Wow.
Yeah. Judge Keith Schwartz is my new hero. But she refused the plea bargain.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. I think it's because she wants to take her chances in court. She refused it on the grounds that I didn't steal, said Lilo. Everybody's going to meet again on March 10th. The judge suggested she undergo psychological counseling, get a new sponsor, and get on with her life. All good advice.
I'm no attorney.
Yes, you are, though, aren't you?
I think
but
you
I
are.
I thought you were.
I believe she's got enough of a defense to put reasonable doubt into somebody's mind, and I think there's a good chance that the gamble will pay off for her if she ends up going to court, and she'll be acquitted.
I'd say so, too. I mean, in the world of celebrities where everybody gives you stuff for free and all that, all you need is a little doubt. And
yeah. And you she brought it back as soon as she was alerted that they were looking for it.
Well, not as soon, but...
I mean, I'm saying it looks good. It's not like she was on the lam with it or denied having it.
Her sister brought it back after they issued a search warrant for her house.
All right. So it wasn't instantaneous.
That's right.
Right.
But I agree with Bean. I think it's not that damning of a case.
Look, if she can just say, oops, it was a mistake, and find any member of the jury to buy that, then,
right.
You know, she does have a case.
She may not have to do jail time. I mean, I think that's the big thing to her, right?
Yeah.
That's all she cares about, not doing jail time.
Right. If she does get convicted, if she goes to court and gets convicted, the punishment is up to a year in prison. Not jail, but prison. So.
Prison not as good as jail.
Well, depends on who you ask. Depends on what you're looking for in a incarceration experience.
Yeah, well.
Some people would say spectacular. Martin Sheen speaking out about his son Charlie and his ongoing struggle with addiction. I feel bad for Martin Sheen.
I do too.
It would be hard to be his dad, wouldn't it?
By all accounts, Martin Sheen is just salt of the earth. He's just one of the best guys in all the show business, and does a lot of work for charities and for migrant workers. He's always been on the front lines of all kinds of social causes, and Charlie, meanwhile, is banging porn stars and smoking crack.
I mean, just out of deference to the fact that he's a former U.S. president, it seems like Charlie should try to keep his nose clean.
There's a TV show called The West Wing.
That never gets old. But Charlie seems like a guy who has used his celebrity in the best possible way.
Yeah, true. Just the opposite.
The opposite of what his son has been doing.
Right.
And, if I was, you know, it's really going to be ticked off. Emilio.
Who?
That's what I'm saying.
Good point.
Emilio Estevez.
He
like,
needs to step it up.
I'm the good son. How about me? Have a little love for me.
You don't get anything from me in the good son.
No, it's true.
He needs to step it up.
Martin Sheen drew parallels between Charlie's struggle with addiction to cancer.
Okay.
Compared drug abuse to cancer, saying that's what it's like when someone in your family is going through that. You have to have equal amounts of love and concern and while trying to lift up the one who's suffering, he said. Meanwhile, Charlie doesn't look ill. He's got a brand new girlfriend, and this week apparently partied the night away on a yacht. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ralph, did you see that story that came out yesterday about how much money Charlie Sheen has spent on automobiles in the last month?
No, I did not.
In the last month?
In the last 30 days,
in the last 30 days.
Yes.
He has spent?
Over $700,000 on cars.
Oh!
Apparently he's buying Porsches or whatever they want for all of these hookers that he's trying to round up into the to live in the Charlie Sheen house.
Is he still trying to do the Charlie Sheen house idea?
Apparently so,
he did buy one of the girls a Bentley. Remember it came out in the story when Casey Jordan was talking about that one of the girls got a blue Bentley.
Well, he's buying all of his favorites their choice of luxury automobiles.
And he has a party house, and he wants them to live there.
A Bentley could, one Bentley could cost you $700,000.
Wow. He's actually trying to make that happen.
Now, that is about 2 days' work for Charlie Sheen, so we do have to keep it in perspective.
Another story about why bulldogs are the worst animals on the planet.
Best pets ever.
Apparently, Victoria Beckham says that her pet bulldog, Coco, loves getting pedicures and getting her nails painted.
Well, that's on posh,
when she wants
that's not
to,
on the
when
dog.
She wants to feel sexy, the dog likes that.
Yeah, that's a crazy pet parent.
If this dog was worth anything, wouldn't it turn around and bite her? That's what I'm saying. That's why bulldogs are to blame for this kind of
How dare you.
And have you guys, I was thinking, I'm looking at this story about Kim Kardashian. Have you seen the new commercials for Old Navy?
I don't think I have.
It's like a pseudo faux music video. The song that I am totally C-U-T-E, cute. And there's this raven-haired girl who looks very much like Kim Kardashian, who sings and dances throughout the commercials. She's just stunning. Kim Kardashian is in the news. Apparently someone has hacked into her Twitter account.
What?
Just today.
And sent out...
Sadly, nothing, but Kim says that she's looking for someone to help her get her password safely returned. Why don't you just change it, Kim?
Get her password safely returned.
Yeah. Apparently someone has stolen it, and she wants them to return it.
What?
Maybe she doesn't understand how the whole password thing works. Right. That's what she tweeted today.
I can make it something else?
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I should do that.
She just doesn't know how to log in now that somebody has hacked her and changed the password. She can't get into her own account now because she doesn't have the password anymore.
But, okay.
Can't she just change it, though?
Well, I mean, I think you need the old password to make a new one. But she's got a verified account. She should be able to go through Twitter Central and have them do it for her.
There you go. There's your answer, Kim Kardashian. You're very welcome. Speaking of the social networks, how would you like to vote for contestants on American Idol or X Factor via Facebook? That's an exciting possibility. Hollywood Reporter says the move is in the works for both Idol and Simon Cowell's new show, The X Factor. To accept votes via Facebook. The votes would be combined with the traditional call-in voting, and according to Entertainment Weekly, could begin as soon as next week. They already do it in England. 60% of X Factor's audience is aged 15 to 34, so they started up the Facebook voting there. And they use Facebook and Twitter to communicate directly with their fans.
It does seem like picking up the phone and calling to vote for something is pretty... 30 years ago, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's an odd thing.
And having to fight a busy signal rather than be able to vote whenever you want, yeah.
They say when X Factor's on in England and the viewers can live tweet, because they're live shows, you know, you can live tweet your feelings and whatnot, they get 500 tweets a second
while
the show is airing. That's how hugely popular it is there.
Wow.
I'm looking forward to seeing the new X Factor here in the States.
I'm not, but hopefully it'll be good.
Simon Cowell. I miss him. I missed him last night during Hollywood Week on
How was it?
On American Idol.
He wasn't there?
It was fine, but there were some people who needed to be slapped.
Yeah.
And he's the only guy, really, who was ever doing that.
He's the only one bringing the slap.
And these people are just very nice, it turns out. Jennifer Lopez and Steven Tyler and Randy Jackson. They're good judges, but they're just extremely heartfelt, decent people. That's no fun on television. You don't want to see decent people treating people decently.
Well, two out of three, fine.
You want them to be fired, but you want it to hurt.
Yes, exactly. J-Lo broke down last night.
Did she?
Yes, she did.
Did she cry?
Oh, did she?
Really?
Oh,
Waterworks.
Oh, did she? Here's the thing. There was a contestant who was singing, and he was a talented chap.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a fiancée who was a lovely young lady.
Was?
And then she had a horrible accident, and now she has suffered severe brain trauma and is confined to a wheelchair. But he is still committed to spending the rest of his life with her and is taking care of her along with her family. And they actually brought her in during his initial audition to meet the judges.
Well,
and everyone sort of fell in love with her.
Of course.
He was not performing up to snuff and had to be let go last night. And Jennifer Lopez had to tell him he was going home. And he was remarkably, you know, took it well, I thought.
She, however, could not reconcile the fact that she did that to somebody, and she knew his personal story and knew what this opportunity meant to him, and she just dissolved. It was kind of touching to see somebody of her stature care so much about a civilian.
It's so different for her. You know, in her real life, she doesn't have to do that with anyone.
Yeah, I suppose.
She's not Simon. She's not used to it.
So Fox played it up for all it was worth.
Oh, did they? Sappy music.
It was like a slow motion of her crying, blowing her nose. And then at the end of the episode last night, it was, to be continued. Will J-Lo be able to come back and continue judging? Or will the other two judges have to go it alone because she is just too destroyed to be continued? They made a big tease over to tonight's episode, and I was like, way to go, Fox. Way to take a nice human moment and just milk it for all the sensationalism you can.
I like it.
I was well impressed by Fox. All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Boxer Floyd Money Mayweather.
Yeah.
He's 34 years old today.
Floyd, ever going to fight Pacquiao?
Just do it.
Is that ever going to happen?
I don't think so.
Nah.
I really don't. Bonnie Somerville, actress from NYPD Blue. She's 37 years old. Actor Billy Zane. He's 45 years old. Now, it says here actress Kristen Davis from Sex and the City is 46. Didn't we celebrate her birthday yesterday?
It was yesterday.
How many birthdays does this woman need?
Maybe she has a week. I don't know.
Oh, it's not my fault. Now, Dave makes up these lists every morning. But
well,
sure
there's your first problem.
I'm sure this one's not his fault either. Co-founder of Apple, Steve Jobs, is 56 years old today. Actress Deborah Jo Rupp, who played the mom on That 70s Show, is 60. Edward James Olmos is 64 years old. And Dominic Chinese, who played Uncle Junior on The Sopranos, is 80 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, party people. Thanks a lot for listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday. Dr. Drew on the program later on today. Also, our friend Seth MacFarlane is going to be here. Here's a sentence you never thought you'd hear. Larry King is taking his comedy on tour. Now, Larry King has been in the public eye as a newspaper writer, as a radio host, and as a television host the last 25 years on CNN. Forever. I mean, I don't remember a time before Larry King. Never have heard him say a funny thing. Now, how is this guy all of a sudden going to switch careers and go out on the road and be funny?
He's not. This can't possibly be a true story.
It is a true story. Tickets are on sale for venues around the country now for a tour that starts in April.
But he's Larry King.
The producers promised the comedy tour, Kevin, will take a hilarious, insightful look at King's life. Larry King's style and wit will give audiences an evening to remember.
Wow. Listen, if it comes through here, I'm going because he's A, crazy, and B, crazy.
Mm-hmm. And C, really old.
Yeah, that too.
If you buy a ticket as a member of the audience, you will also have the extraordinary opportunity to ask your own questions of the broadcast veteran in a Q&A with Larry at each performance. So he's going to do improv, too, in addition to prepared material.
Wow. That sounds to me like he doesn't have an act, by the way.
Well,
that sounds
I don't
to me
know.
Like he's gonna just throw out a couple of jokes and then go, any questions?
Well, Larry was the guest on Piers Morgan's show on CNN last night. Piers took over for Larry after he left. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but that doesn't matter because we have Mr. King on the phone with us right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show so we can ask our own questions about the comedy tour. Hey, Larry.
Kevin and Bean, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes. You're on the air with us also. How are you feeling
Larry
today, dude?
Larry King, you're on the air. Hello.
Okay. It's Kevin and Bean, hello. And We arranged this interview with you so we could talk about your upcoming comedy tour, Mr.
Yes,
King.
Yes, you did.
Right.
Okay.
Tell us about it.
Is it true that you're doing it?
I am.
Because it's a report. Bean says the tickets are going on sale.
On sale now. Larry King. Evening of laughter, love, and life.
What made you think all of a sudden, hey, I'm hilarious, I can't wait to get out there and stand on stage?
Because I'm a funny guy.
You're not a funny guy.
I am a hilarious guy.
You've never...
And everyone wants to hear me do my hilarious comedy.
I've never heard you say a funny thing, Larry, not one time, and I've been a fan of yours for a long, long time.
Well, you don't know people sometimes.
Oh, you've been holding it back? You've been holding the good stuff back?
Well, you don't give it away for free if you're going to sell it.
Right.
I am a professional.
That's what I hear.
You're going to talk about growing up in New York and how you got into the various businesses that you've enjoyed throughout your career and just tell stories along the way, maybe about some of the famous people you've met and interviewed?
That's right. And tell hilarious comedy and people are going to love it. Comedy, you're on the air. Hello.
Hilarious comedy. I mean, what do you mean by that? Do you have any jokes?
I had an uncle who was crazy.
Right.
You know how he got through the forest? The psychopath. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Wow.
On the air. Hello, audience.
That's not the type of joke you're going to be telling, though, right?
I had a lawyer once who handled my many divorces. You know what he used to wear to court?
What?
A lawsuit. Comedy, you're on the air. Hello.
Comedy isn't on the air, Larry.
Larry, are those people with you, or is that just a sound effect?
No, this is the audience.
Oh, you're doing a show now?
Absolutely. You guys caught me mid-show.
And you answered your phone in the middle of a comedy show?
Well, I make a commitment. I live up to it.
I didn't know that.
I am a professional.
I didn't know there were any comedy shows before noon anywhere in the country.
I'm doing an old age home.
Okay, all
right. Oh, I see.
Time these people get up.
Okay.
Because they're old.
Yeah.
But so they're a great audience. You're a great audience, people. Give yourself a round of applause.
Wow, how about that?
And, you know, so, I had an uncle who was a cowboy. He was the happiest guy I ever knew.
Right.
I used to call him the Jolly Rancher.
Okay, that's just not, that's not funny, Larry.
Hey, you know what a skeleton's favorite instrument is? The trombone.
Larry, these are these jokes out of Highlights magazine?
What's white and goes up? A confused snowflake.
That doesn't even make sense. Larry,
I had an uncle who used to be a mathematician. He went to the psychiatrist. Doc said, "Why are you here?" He said, "I've got a lot of problems."
Okay, look.
He is in math. Had a lot of math problems.
We get it.
Why not just retire gracefully on your legacy as a talk show host and just enjoy the later years
what
instead of going out?
What did one volcano say to the other volcano? I love you.
Come on.
See, hey, LeBron's laughing.
Okay.
That was good.
LeBron's pretty easy.
Hey, what did the spider make on the computer? A web page.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think we've learned everything we need to know about this story, Larry. Thank you very much for your time.
Why is a Staples the most noble of all stores? They have a lot of rulers. Thank you.
All right.
Tom O'Dee.
That's Tom O'Dee.
All
right. Good luck with
we've got to revisit our friend Harry Balls. He is back in the news, even though he is long dead. Fort Wayne, Indiana is the place. Harry Balls is in the news. Why, Kevin?
Well, they're trying to come up with a name. They're trying to name a public building, and he's in the running, and people see that Harry Balls is in the running. And I guess he was a very popular mayor in the 20s and 30s, so they're all like, yeah, let's vote for that. And it's winning 30-1 or something like that. I mean, it's not even close. And then there are other people going, we can't call a building Harry Balls. This guy, I guess, super popular 20s and 30s, and his family has since tried to change the pronunciation because it causes problems. It is spelled B-A-A-L-S, but he himself called it was Harry Balls. That's what his name.
Look, it's bad enough if your family name is Balls, B-A-A-L-S, but it's on Harry's parents.
I agree.
Who named him Harry on top of that.
You know they were drinking hard. We should just call him Harry.
Exactly. It's just like my friend Dick Johnson. I mean, look, his last name is already Johnson. Don't further make it terrible for him by giving him a first name that's also a penis euphemism.
It is pretty much the same word.
Yeah.
Right.
Odd. So here's the story of Harry Ball.
A former Fort Wayne mayor is getting some national attention. Thousands of people voted online to name the new city-county building in his honor.
But that probably won't happen because of his name.
People voted, and the top pick so far with more than 10,000 votes is the Harry Balls Government Center.
Harry Balls apparently was a great mayor.
Nice the try. Overwhelming front runner was the Harry Balls Government Center.
Harry Balls was the mayor of Fort Wayne back in the 1930s and 40s. We have a street named after Harry Balls.
Some people think the Harry Balls Government Center would make Fort Wayne the butt of jokes. After all, the family did change the pronunciation of their last name from Balls to Bales. Jim thinks a Harry Balls Government Center could be great for the city of Fort Wayne.
Well, I think it would put us on the map, for one thing.
Yes.
I think a lot of people are going to snicker about it and laugh, but yes. After it dies down, I don't see any problem.
It's not going to die down, dude. I mean, let's be honest.
The reason we're bringing up this story again is after we presented that to you a couple of weeks ago, a Kevin and Mean listener wrote in and said, there are a lot of people who have really tough names. Some of them, you know, if they're in show business, they'll change that name. And they brought the example that was given in the email was actress Olivia Wilde from the House TV show, who I guess her last name is in real life is Cockburn. Now, some people have that name and pronounce it Coburn, which may be exactly what you're talking about, Kevin, which is a way to just try to, you know, to try to reduce the damage.
But it's spelled the other way.
Cockburn. Exactly, yeah. So she changed her name. So then we started thinking, man, there are a lot of people out there who just are dealt unfortunate names. And
why would their parents do that to them? That's what I don't understand. You've got to know you're going to make Harry's life miserable.
Yeah.
Yes.
If his
yes.
last name is Bowles.
Yeah. You do have the option in that case to lessen the damage. That's for sure. Now, if your family name is Cockburn, though, maybe there isn't anything you can do, you know, short of deciding as a family, we're going to go change our last name.
Yeah, but
just don't name your kid Richard.
Right.
Sure.
So we want to take your telephone calls if you have one of these unfortunate names or if you're familiar with somebody who does and can tell us what that is, what that's like. And maybe it's somebody or it's you who has a name and has changed it. You go by a different name because your name is so rough.
You just have to. It's just too much. It's too much hassle.
Yeah.
What's wrong with your name is what we're talking about here on the Kevin DeBean Show. And our toll free number is 1-800-520-1067. We'll try really hard not to laugh, but I can't guarantee anything.
Don't even. It's,
my dad knew a Harry Bear and a Peter Rabbit.
Why?
Why do people do that?
Your dad. Tell us.
The guy, my dad's friend is named Dick Pound. You may recognize the name. He's the head of the International Doping Committee. He was very popular a couple of years ago when all the steroids and sports was coming out.
Oh, okay.
And he goes by Dick. Like, he could easily just be Richard Pound, mm-hmm. but nice to meet you.
Has he embraced it?
I'm Dick Pound. I embrace Dick Pound.
But Dick Pound is a little better in that it's...
It makes him look cooler.
Yeah.
He's in the dominant.
Right. That's different. That's different than just... we were talking to another friend yesterday who knew of somebody that they worked with. Last name was Dick. Okay, so now you already have problems. Like Andy Dick, for example. You already have, like, what
like
do you
like actor Tim Allen, by the way, whose real last name is Dick. And for that reason, he changed it to Tim Allen.
I didn't know his last name was Dick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a friend of ours worked with Anita. I know it sounds like a ridiculous joke. Her name was Anita.
Her name was Anita Dick.
Yes.
Oh, no.
It sounds like a joke. You, Mike.
How much does her phone ring, by the way?
Mike, were you the one that knew a Cruz?
It's my grandmother's sister was named Cruz, and she married a guy named Cruz. Last name Cruz, and she is now Cruz.
Cruz. See, it doesn't always have to be a dirty name or something, but it's an awkward name. It's an uncomfortable name. It's a name you wouldn't wish on anyone. Here's an email, and then we'll get to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. This is Mark writing in. Heard us teasing this topic yesterday at the end of the show. He's a podcast listener. Guys, I almost guarantee I have a winner for the worst name. I've gotten in this conversation before with acquaintances, and I always win with this. In the Mormon church where I grew up, there was a lady named Gay Sinner.
Nicest,
most soft-spoken lady in the world. The best part is, Sinner was her married name. She took her husband's last name when she got married, knowing it was a bad name, but she loved and respected her husband so much she wanted to take his last name. Her name is Gay Sinner. Now, Gay, I know this is hard to believe, at one time in this country was a very popular woman's name. I mean, I have relatives named Gay,
right?
For instance. You know, much, much, much older, some gone now, you know, grandparents and aunts and things like that. You don't see Gay much anymore. I don't think that's very popular as a first name anymore. But if your name is Gay and you marry a man named Sinner, do you take his last name?
No, you keep your own. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter.
Whatever it is.
How bad it is, you don't go with Sinner because now you're inviting people to comment on your lifestyle, which you don't need.
I can understand with some couples, and we've had this discussion before about women who choose not to take their husband's last names, and I have no problem with any woman doing that. I don't care, but there are some guys who would really, really be offended by the woman not wanting his last name, even if it's a bad last name. So you may have troubles there.
That's ridiculous, though. If it's a bad last name, I mean, if it's Dick.
Yeah, let's ditch it.
Seriously.
Let's
move on. It's not really going to help to name your kid Anita.
Let's talk to Michael real quick on line 5, and we'll take your calls to it. 1-800-520-1067. Awkward, sad, or embarrassing names. That's what we're looking for here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hey, Michael, thanks for calling. By the way, Michael's a pretty dumb name, so I see why you're calling.
I know. It's pretty stupid.
Oh, wait. It's not you. What's going on?
I work for the court out here in Los Angeles, and I met a person when he came to pay his traffic ticket. I asked him what his name was, and he said last name, Bunch, first name, Brady.
His name is Brady Bunch?
His name was Brady Bunch.
Really? Did he know Partridge Family?
Wait, was he born into that, or was he one of those goofballs that changed it?
No, I asked him. He said his parents actually gave him that name.
Brady.
So their last name was Bunch, and they thought it would be hilarious to name their kid Brady.
I thought it was hilarious.
It is hilarious, but poor Brady has to, talk, stop and talk about the name every time it comes up.
Yeah, wow.
All right, that's good times.
Michael, thank you very much for the call. All right, we've set the bar pretty high. Start with Brady Bunch, but 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on this topic on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Went to see them last night with Prodigy. Lincoln Park.
Awesome.
Staples Center, fantastic. It's world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 636.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about bad, embarrassing, awkward, unfortunate names. 1-800-520-1067. The Harry Balls government building is in the news in Fort Wayne, Indiana. That's what got us on the topic here. But man, I don't know how, I mean, Anna Sasson? Come on. Really? That's somebody's name?
Like it. See, at least Anna, that's tough. You know?
Merry Christmas. I mean, if your last name is already Christmas, do you name your daughter Mary? If your last name is Nut, do you name your daughter Hazel? Hazelnut is somebody's name. What's going on here?
Listen, parents are dumb. That's what's going on here.
Let's talk to Jamie/Jaime. He's on line 8 on the Kevin and Bean Show to get us going here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Does he use both, or we just don't know how it's said?
I don't know which it is, so okay. I don't want to screw it up.
Hey, Jaime/Jaime.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
what's your name, dude?
How do you say your first name?
Jamie.
Jamie, okay.
Jamie. All right, welcome.
Last name?
Dinkleberry.
No way!
Dinkleberry.
Dingleberry, you mean?
No, Dinkle.
With a K.
With a K. Dingleberry. Oh,
that's not that bad.
Yes,
I mean, it's not great.
It's pretty bad.
It's not Dingleberry, though.
Well, yeah.
It's way too close.
Yeah. I still get made fun of at school and stuff.
Yeah, but you know what? Your first name doesn't add to the problem so much.
True.
It's just a really bad last name. Wow, Dinkleberry. Wow, thank you for the call.
Let's try Jay. Jay line 1 sounds like he's calling with an all-time classic, but apparently it is real. Hi, Jay. Welcome to the show. Thanks for hanging on, dude.
Good morning, gentlemen and lady.
Good morning.
Now, before you get to the name, you knew this person.
Yes.
This isn't just a bad joke that you picked up along the way.
No, this is a name that you grow up as a kid listening to and thinking, what kind of poor bastard has that through life? And then come to find out, sure enough, I met him.
And his name was?
Mike Hunt.
Mike
Hunt.
And I guess there had to be one, right? Yeah.
Did he get paged all the time, every time he went anywhere?
We had conferences and training together, and everybody would sit behind him and go, hey, what's that smell?
Oh, wow. This is, he didn't make his life a living hell.
This was in the Coast Guard?
Yeah, it's a special capabilities unit that was out in Boston, and our charter was to be anywhere in the nation in 12 hours with machine guns and divers and all this kind of stuff.
So he was an awesome macho dude who just had to endure all the razzing because of that name.
Yeah, he was the stocky operations officer that led men into a battle, and here he
did
was.
You have to say, yes, sir, Mr. Hunt? Yes, sir.
That's fantastic.
I was a peer, so I would call him Mike and just snicker at that.
Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's try Chrissy, line 4, 1-800-520-1067 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Chrissy. Thanks for calling.
Hi, good morning.
Hi there.
No. My aunt's name is Marsha Long, and then she married into my grandpa's side, and so it's Marsha Long Dick now.
His last name is Dick?
And her last name was Long.
Mm-hmm, and she kept it on purpose.
She kept Long and Dick.
To be funny?
I don't know.
No, because your aunt or your grandma?
Well, we're actually related to Tim Allen. His last name is Dick, and that's my grandpa's, third cousin.
Hmm. Wow.
My grandma's name is Janita Dick.
No way. Come on now.
And my grandpa's name is Philip Dick.
Oh, that's it. Wow. You have a chunk of stand up here. What?
And they're hilarious about it too. And I have Uncle Hubert Dick.
Wow.
It's pretty
almost
funny.
Everything is hilarious when you put a dick after
it. They just decided to embrace Dick. That's all. They just said, let's not change the name. Let's just go for it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Tom writes in, I know a civil engineer whose name and company is Richard Seaman. He goes by Dick. Blake writes in, I went to high school with a guy named Harry Zipper. Here's an emailer named Stockdad who says, I went to school with a girl named Dawn Key. Her name was Dawn Key.
No.
Right?
What were our parents thinking?
Right?
They must have been high.
Yeah, Matt, clearly.
Matt, line 5 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for calling. What's up, dude?
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
What's the name?
All right. I actually have a coworker. Her name is Hollywood.
Hollywood.
First name Holly, last name Wood. That's not rad. No, it isn't. It really isn't. I mean, the first 100 times, you know, you get asked about it, I imagine she probably doesn't even tell people her last name anymore.
Oh, yeah, she does all the time.
Really? She embraces it?
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Thank you for the call. Mike writes in, my neighbors have a high school age son. One of his classmates is named Daytona Beach. Huh. Right? Yeah. Here's a guy who works with it. He has an Asian coworker whose name is King Kong.
Yeah.
All right.
All
this
right.
This just gets better and better.
Now we're getting somewhere. All right, let's go to Aaron and find out from him what name he has. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Now, hey. You know this person? You used to work with this person?
I used to work with this person, yes. I've been in the medical field for some time now, and I bumped into a girl named Sharon, last name Panoch.
Panoch, which is...
In Spanish means vagina, or a dirty word named vagina. So,
and Sharon.
Of course, yeah. Sharon.
Nice.
So she's giving it up a lot.
Oh, well, yeah, we kind of wondered who.
Why would parents do that?
I don't know. Thank you, Aaron. I don't know if this is the closer or not, or if we have to go to Matt, but listen to this. Jody writes in, I know a family in Hawaii. Their last name is Silva. Their kids are named Sterling Silva, Quick Silva, Golden Silva, and my favorite, and how'd you like to be, Little Hi-Ho Silva.
Come on now.
That's so rad. Oh my God, I would be Hi-Ho Silva.
If I had to be one of those, I'd be Hi-Ho.
Would you want to be Hi-Ho Silva?
I would, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Oh, because that's the only one that's funny. The rest of them aren't funny. Let's go to Ray, who used to go to school with somebody. Hi, Ray.
Hey, I saw a friend, her last name was Ho, and her first name was Anita.
Anita Ho.
Yes, and we used to go up and down the hallway yelling, Anita Ho.
Yeah. Yeah. See, parents don't realize that when they're naming their kids.
I guess not.
I don't think they picture poor little Anita walking down the hallway at school and all the kids chanting.
Yes, hilarious. Anita Ho.
And really, Anita, we need to abandon that name. Anita, it just can be used for too many bad things.
I don't know how long ago it was Ray went to class with Anita, but he's still laughing at it,
right,
yes.
By the way.
Right.
All right, Tom, line 5. Thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's your name?
How's it going, guys?
Hey.
Hi. Your brother-in-law?
My brother-in-law's name is Wei Hung.
Wei Hung.
All right. See, at least it's something positive. Last name, H-U-N-G.
You got it.
All right. Way home. I like it.
All right. You want to close? Let's close with Matt, I think, on line 1. And then we got Ralph with the Showbiz Beat coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Matt. You get the final word. Who's your guy?
Harry Dong.
Harry Dong. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Now, you know that person?
Yeah. He's one of our union officials. And whenever he runs for elections, there's signs everywhere. Vote for Harry Dong. He's an Asian guy.
Love it. Yeah. Love it.
And I would.
Harry Dong should run too.
Harry Dong should run with Harry Balls.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh,
yeah. What a ticket.
Yeah.
They can get every election they ever ran for. All right. Thank you for the call. Sorry we don't have time for Fat Ho, Patty, but thank you for calling.
Is it time for Mr. Skin? Is Mr. Skin on the show yet?
No, he's coming up later.
Coming up later.
Oh, come on.
Here's the thing. Bean loves naked women on the internet or in movies so much more than he loves naked women in real life.
Oh, by far. Yeah.
And well, that's true. Of course. Why wouldn't I?
Because they're better in real life because...
No, they're a pain in the ass in real life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Skin, later on the Kevin and Bean Show, also Seth MacFarlane and Dr. Drew joins us. It's all coming up. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's happening?
You will go to jail.
What?
Said the judge yesterday to Lindsay Lohan.
Did he say it like that?
Yes, like a robot. They were talking about her plea bargain, and Judge Keith Schwartz said... That if you plea this in front of me, it will mean jail time for you.
Now, pleading means that she would say she's guilty to a lesser charge?
Right.
Okay.
But there's no way, in his eyes, she was going to avoid doing some jail time if she admitted to whatever the lesser charge they agreed upon. So Lindsay said, okay, I won't take that option then.
So she's going to go to court.
She's going to go to court, yeah. Right. She is going to stand firm. On the grounds that she didn't steal the necklace. If she had fessed up to taking the necklace, the judge made it clear there would be a jail sentence. But if she's convicted, the punishment is up to a year in prison. So it was a little bit of time in jail versus possibly a year in prison if she's convicted of the crime. So we'll have to see what goes on. But
wow.
Lindsay looked good again yesterday, by the way.
She did.
She sure did.
Yeah, she looked good.
Mike, I'm surprised you haven't said anything about how much she'll enjoy jail since she loves the ladies.
Yeah, I know. Usually I say things like that, but I don't because I'm not in the room right now.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I had to go to the bathroom. Yeah. I just ran out. Yeah. There's only a certain window for poop that I have to take it.
Mike may not be taking our show seriously anymore.
No,
he's so out the door. Warner Brothers, in the midst of remake fever, is talking about rebooting the 1992 hit The Bodyguard. Because I will always love you.
Whitney Houston.
Oh, Whitney Houston. Now, that was a good movie, right, Ralph?
Will always love you.
I'm not enjoying this particular version.
No, neither am I.
Of the song.
It was good, right?
With,
no.
It wasn't good with Whitney and Kevin Costner? No.
It may have been okay in 1992. I don't know if you've seen it recently.
I've never seen it.
Doesn't hold up.
Kevin Costner played a... he's a former bodyguard. Military... Yeah, I know, he's a bodyguard.
Sorry, it sounded like you were reaching for that word.
Former military special agents kind of guy who gets out of the military and then gets into personal protection. And he ends up guarding a diva, a music star... played by Whitney Houston.
Oh, that must go horribly wrong for him.
Well, they fall desperately in love.
Of course.
Horrible things happen, and he's willing to take a bullet for her because he's the bodyguard.
Yeah, I'd rather die.
The film was originally written back in the 1970s, believe it or not.
You mean it? Did they make it then? Or
no.
Didn't get made?
That's when the script was written.
Hmm.
Lawrence Kasdan, the man who wrote The Big Chill and Raiders of the Lost Ark, great screenwriter.
Wow.
Wrote the screenplay originally as a project for Steve McQueen and Diana Ross. In the 70s. And it had kicked around and kicked around and kicked around with a bunch of stars attached to it, including, that was like a very coveted role for a singer to make her big movie debut or make a big splash in acting as this role, because the role is that of a singer. So they knew they could hire someone who had an established music career and kind of have her do the soundtrack and stuff.
Sure.
And that's why Whitney Houston had the biggest hit of her career with that film. But I thought it was interesting, the list of people that were in talks to star in the film at one point or another. Until the role eventually went to Whitney. Madonna, Pat Benatar, Olivia Newton-John, Joan Jett, Deborah Harry, Janet Jackson, Terry Nunn, and Kim Carnes.
It's funny how a lot of those are more rock angle than Whitney.
So no word yet on who will star in the rebooted version. However, Rihanna's name has been batted about quite a bit.
All right.
I can see that, sure.
So... we'll see if that happens or not.
But not Kevin Costner, right? I mean, they're going to recast that as well.
No.
All right, good.
No.
I'm glad to hear that.
Although Costner is in talks to star as Superman's dad in the next Superman movie.
He doesn't act very often anymore, does he?
He was just in that Company Men movie recently.
He's an automatic, I need to take a second look at that before I go for me.
Yeah,
he's a red flag.
It's a shame. This was a guy who I always thought was a real plus when it came to movie making. And he really has spiraled his career, has gone downhill. I remember seeing him in Silverado, that Western movie that Lawrence Kasdan also wrote and directed, which I thought was one of the best modern Westerns, really, the past 20 years or so. He was great in that. That's kind of where I first discovered him. And then The Untouchables, of course, made him a superstar when he played Elliot Ness.
He was great in that.
Yeah. And did a series of real good films. And then around Waterworld, Postman era.
Oh, the Postman.
Yeah. He seemed to be... gaining an ego and losing in talent in some way. He became less and less likable.
Yeah.
In his defense, though, he was just a drifter with a sack of mail.
That was the slogan.
He was a dude with gills.
Right.
Who was fighting Dennis Hopper with an eye patch. He had that.
But I loved him in Bull Durham and For the Love of the Game. Sure. Both good, real
but
good baseball movies.
What about that stupid movie where he was the only voter that...
Oh, that...
Yeah. Both sides had to win over?
Swing vote.
Come on.
Yeah. Oh.
With that.
Oh.
I think he was in that awful romantic comedy with Anne Heche, too, remember?
No, I don't
another one
that
was
one.
Superman.
No.
Yeah. You're not thinking of six Days and Seven Nights, right, with Harrison Ford?
No.
Oh. What are you thinking of?
I don't know the name of it.
How do we ignore the murder mystery with Dane Cook? That he was the talented Mr. Ripley, Mr. Brooks, or whatever it was. Yeah.
I don't remember that one either.
He was actually pretty good in that. The film was not good, but his performance was real strong. Yeah. That was one of the best things he had done in a long time. I thought.
Hmm.
Remember Tin Cup? Mm-hmm. Where he played the golfer.
No.
Yes.
With Rene Russo.
I stay away from golfer movies. In general,
says the guy likes soccer.
Well.
Anyway, but yeah, they're in the talks to play Jonathan Kent in the new Superman reboot, taking over as Superman's dad.
So maybe it'll be resurgence in his career. We'll have to wait and see. Speaking of movies, I've got some passes to give away to the very special Kevin and Bean. Well, it's not the Kevin and Bean. It's the actual premiere. It's the real deal. It's the red carpet premiere of a movie I like to call Take Me Home Tonight.
And why do you like to call it that, Ralph?
Yeah, because that's the name of the film.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
We don't have a winner!
Topher Grace stars. It's all about the 80s. Got some great music in it. A lot of Rick Springfield. That's all I care about. Also stars Anna Faris. Red Carpet World Premiere happens at the LA Live. Down there, downtown. Wednesday, March the 2nd. By the way, if you are lucky enough to win, five callers will win 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through will get a pair of passes. If you're lucky enough to win, come by and say hi, because I'll be hosting the red carpet that evening.
Oh, how about that?
I'll be interviewing the celebs and saying hi to the crowd and saying, Topher, can I have a word? Topher, as he walks past me. So I'm looking forward to spending the evening down there. Come by and say hi, because I will likely be very lonely.
Those hosting gigs suck.
Sometimes they're fun,
yeah,
and sometimes they're not. I've had really good red carpet experiences.
The problem
and then
is
I've had really bad.
The problem is that the people who want to come up on stage and be interviewed are not the people you want to interview.
That's
ever.
Right. Yes,
and the ones that you really want to interview, they might do it. They might.
Ralph, Sinbad wants to come up. Sinbad wants to come up on the stand. No, I'm kind of waiting for Anna Faris. No. Khloe Kardashian wants to come up. No, I'm kind of waiting for the stars of the movie. Best one I ever did, most fun I ever had at a red carpet was Semi-Pro, the Will Ferrell basketball movie.
Oh, I'll bet. Yeah.
Because those guys were just so eager to entertain the crowd and get up there and goof around, and it was just a great cast. You know, it's like Rob Corddry and Will and Maura Tierney and just Woody Harrelson, just a good bunch of people. That was really fun.
What movie was Lightning hosting when this happened?
How are you doing, Jim?
Jim Carrey?
Man, yeah. I was skinny and like this tall. I know. I've gained 30 pounds, and now it's disgusting.
Yeah. That was the Lightning movie, apparently. He was the star.
Who knew?
He was the one he was interviewing.
I like
that he was interviewing himself.
He would not mic Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was that Jim Carrey movie about numbers. It was a psychological
movie. Oh, 27.
There you go.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. That was spooky. Remember Bean on the red carpet with...
Yes.
The nanny? Fran Drescher. Yeah.
Bean, you have that.
Yeah.
Come on, we're beating each other with our own work. Let's do it.
I may have it.
You have it.
I'm looking for it. Hang on. It was at the red carpet for a James Bond movie, and Pierce Brosnan was this James Bond at that time.
I got it.
And she had done a movie called Beautician and the Beast with Timothy Dalton, who was also a James Bond.
And I think I got a little bit confused.
The makeover of the night on the red carpet, Fran Drescher joining us up here. You know, we were talking as you were coming up that you've done a movie with Pierce Brosnan before, The Beautician and the Beast. Did you ever imagine he'd end up being a James Bond?
I didn't. Pierce Brosnan was not in Beautician and the Beast.
Really?
I think I'm going to get back on the line.
Yeah,
sweet.
She turned and walked. First,
we don't exactly
makeover
have...
of the night. As if you are always hideous, but you look really good tonight. What happened? That's what that question meant. That's maybe not the way to start off an interview with a woman.
Yeah, that was bad in every possible way it could have been bad.
It was pretty strong.
But as you know, Ralph, you are you're the victim of your own memory. It's not like you have notes. It's not like you have resources. You pretty much just have to pull whatever you're going to talk about out of the air when the people show up. You don't even know who's going to be there half the time.
Sometimes I'm walking up the steps and you're going, who is this? Who is this?
Who is this person? What can I say? Yeah, the publicist whispering in your ear. He's in a new reality show about balloon art.
All I know is that Kevin and I are not well suited for that line of work.
Yeah, we've stopped.
That's what I've learned
because we're terrible.
I'll be down there hanging with everybody from Take Me Home Tonight. It's an Eddie Money movie.
It
is, for God's sakes. The name
has nothing to do with
Take Me
Home
Tonight. Is the hit song? It's based on the hit song.
It is.
Take Me Home Tonight.
It's not
Eddie Money. Well, it's the song will certainly be featured in the film, and I'm guessing Eddie will be there. I will get a chance to have an in-depth interview with Eddie Money, who, of course, I performed on stage with many years ago.
You didn't perform on stage. You were standing
at the Orange County Fair.
And he said thank you, good night, and you were still standing there
off stage. No, your memory is faulty.
Those of you that don't remember the song, this is a little bit of the Eddie Money Take Me Home Tonight.
Take your face on, honey. He's not the same guy. Let's say your sister's the Charlie Gus tonight.
Kevin, that's...
Let's say your face on, honey. He's not the same guy.
Kevin, that's the man with no face. That's not Eddie Money.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The TLC guy. My bad.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Edward James Olmos is 64 years old today. Actress Deborah Jo Rupp from That 70s Show turned 60. Apple co-founder Steve Jobs is 56. Billy Zane celebrates his 45th birthday. And boxer Floyd Money Mayweather Jr. celebrates his 34th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us every Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show. And hey, today's Thursday. That means he's coming up also the greatest human that ever walked the face of the earth, including Jesus. Mr. Skin will be on the program later. And Seth MacFarlane, creator of The Family Guy. It's all on the way from the Kevin and Bean Show.
First, a few emails. We got some response. We were doing a topic this week about people who have sex in your house.
I'm against it.
I know you are. Christy writes, I had a party at my house and I got locked out of my own room.
Oh.
That seems bad, right? When I opened the door, I saw one of my friends in a state of undress. I looked at them and said, just don't blank in my bed. She uses a word that starts with J. I slept in my bed that night, Christy. Now, wouldn't you have thought that if she's worried about that, maybe take the sheets off and
burn the bed down, right?
Burn the house down, right?
If you need to, right?
But she was fine with it.
It seems unsanitary to me when other people have sex in your home. That's all I'm saying. That's what this email, though, from Ted is about also. Dear Kevin, Bean, Ralph, and Lisa, I was listening to the podcast about finding people having sex in your house. I live alone. I go out of town a lot on business, and I have three small dogs that need watching while I'm gone. Well, it turned out there was some confusion with the trainer that I hired to stay at my house about how long I was going to be gone. So I came back a day earlier than she was expecting. I walked in, opened the front door. I heard moaning sounds coming out of my bedroom. Then I walked into the bedroom. There were two people going at it so intensely, they didn't even realize that I was staying there for a good 5 seconds. The most shocking thing was I had never seen either one of them before. It turned out that the dog trainer that I hired had hired someone else to stay over at my house without telling me, and that person had brought her boyfriend.
Awesome.
The worst part wasn't even finding them having sex. Hey, that gave me an awesome story that I've been telling ever since. It's that they locked up the dogs that they were supposed to be taking care of, who normally sleep in the bedroom, in a small guest house in the dark. It was so uncool. It also would have been nice if they hadn't used my sheets. I know it sounds like a Cinemax movie with Shannon Tweed or somebody, but I swear to God, this actually happened.
In the original story, it was someone they knew. It was a sister or something like that. So that's a little different than complete strangers.
That's amazing.
Yeah. This one is Dear Kevin and Bean. JD writes, after my two friends and I finished The Human Centipede, which is a movie we highly recommend to everyone, because everyone can agree on it. We were so horrified of the possibilities of it happening to us that we decided to play rock, paper, scissors to decide who would be stuck in the middle and the back.
That's smart to get that in advance so that everybody knows what the plan is in the event that a human centipede happens.
Right, which I'm guessing the event that happens is probably a pretty low chance,
right?
In that it was a movie, but if it happens, they're all set up, and they did rock, paper, scissors. Sadly, I suck at rock, paper, scissors, and ended up in the middle.
Oh, you don't want to be in the middle.
Worst. That's the
you
worst.
You don't want to be in the middle.
No, you should do best out of three.
Just keep doing it. Excuse me. What's the status of the Human Centipede sequel? Is that due this year? Are we going to see that in 2011?
I'm not going to see it ever.
And Mike, what did you hear? Didn't you hear that it was going to be like a six-person centipede or something?
Yeah. He's going to try to continue the series so that he can have... It'll be obviously a new doctor, a new centipede.
New victims,
but
right?
It's going to be more units.
Oh, I can't wait.
And much
can't
more wait. Gross, he said, remember?
Yes.
Yes.
We talked to him. I was like, all right, I'm out.
Here's a couple of emails about a topic that we did earlier in the week about do-it-yourself medicine. People who decide for whatever reason, either through money or embarrassment, to not go to the emergency room, not have a professional look at their health problem, but to try to take care of themselves. Hey, Bean is what Taylor writes in. I was playing mud football in college. A friend of ours got tackled and landed his arm on a sprinkler head. It broke off, and when he stood up, there was a 6-inch-long sprinkler head stuck in his triceps and biceps. He said his parents would kill him if they had to pay for an emergency room visit, so he asked us to take the sprinkler head out and fix him up. We, of course, thought this would be awesome. Well, what we found out during the operation was that one of those sprinkler heads had three heads or barbs on it. So when we pulled it out, we ended up pulling out parts of his muscle and tendons with it.
Oh, that's bad.
So instead of going to the hospital to remove the sprinkler head and stitch him up, he had to go to the hospital and get reconstructive surgery on his arm. It took over a year for it to fully heal, and he was never really friends with us again. Yeah, we wouldn't really recommend that to anyone, says Taylor. And the other one, and this is just for you, Kevin, fan of the show, long time him, heard a segment about Kevin telling the other day that he broke his tooth on a jawbreaker, right? Remember that he ended up going to the wrong dentist, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I don't know if he ever got it fixed, but I broke a tooth recently as well. I didn't think anything of it. It didn't hurt, so who cares, right? Well, big wrong. Not feeling the pain until it was too late. It got infected, and the infection got into my bloodstream and literally ate a hole in my mitral valve in my heart.
Oh, wow. My God.
Two open heart surgeries and a mitral valve replacement later, I ended up losing 60 pounds, spent 2 months in the hospital, and had $300,000 in medical bills. Good decision not going to the dentist?
Wow.
I think not. Love you guys, especially you, Lisa. You're the best. That's Eric. Yeah, Eric.
Dear Kevin, Hope writes, this email is to say how much I love your morning show along with everyone else with you. I listen at work every morning. My most favorite episodes are your Glee review.
Which we don't do anymore.
Jersey Shore review. But most of all, the David Bowie skit with him singing about his paintings. And I think there was one about his son being a director. I was at my desk rolling with laughter today, and I had the managers come out and give me the eye, in air quotes. Please keep doing the David Bowie songs. It makes my day a fantastic one, and it puts a smile on my face in my Hell in a Cell, a.k.a. my cubicle. Thank you for being awesome. You guys rock. David Bowie rocks. Love you. Hope Perez. So,
all right.
This is for you.
I'm glad Hope Perez likes me. 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 Really glad Hope Perez likes me. I'm so glad Hope really likes me. Hope Perez, she really likes me. I'm glad Hope Perez likes me. In a cubicle, she really likes me. My music, she really likes me. I'm glad Hope Perez likes me. Hope Perez really likes me. She really, really likes me. Hope Perez really likes me. Hope's a chick who really digs me. She really, really likes me. Likes my song and really likes me. Hope Perez really likes me. Oh, Hope, I like you too.
All
right, don't be scared here, Kevin. We got to talk about American Idol for a second. I know you hate it. I know you hate it.
Yeah.
They're in Hollywood Week right now. And, you know, one of the reasons that the show dropped a little bit last year was not an exciting year is because they didn't have much talent. It really was nobody to root for. There were not a lot of great performers. This year, they have an overabundance of really, really talented people. And the cuts are getting kind of deep as they settle into the top 24, as they move on for the top 24. They're starting to have to let some people go that are really, really talented. And one of the people that got cut last night was this kid named Chris, who's really good, maybe not quite good enough to make the top 24, but you kind of pulled for the guy because he has such a tragic backstory.
Right.
He's the one, for folks watching the show, he's the one who's engaged to be married. His fiance got in a horrible car accident and ended up with some severe neurological problems and in a wheelchair. He's a great dude, though, and he's totally sticking with her, still plans to marry her, the whole deal. So this is the kind of guy who's a genuinely good guy. You really root for him to do well, right? Well, Jennifer Lopez, one of the judges on American Idol, had to break the news to him last night that she had to send him home, that he didn't make the cut to the top 24.
Oh, that's rough.
It is tough. And she's a very sweet person and really just about had a meltdown on the show last night. I think we got some tape right at the very end of last night's American Idol.
I just don't want to tell him no. It's hard for me to tell him. No, I do.
He's crying. You did it. Listen, you did the best way possible. And I think we were really real and we were really honest with him. And I think it hurts us all, you know what I mean?
Like I said, I just don't feel like I told him in the right way. I don't.
Oh, you did. No, no, you so did. Did. Baby, you did.
I didn't want to tell him no.
No, you so did. You so did. Did. You really did.
You said the just right perfect words.
I'm so mad.
No.
Okay, I don't want to do this anymore.
I'm sorry. I don't want to do this anymore. And that's where the show ends. And of course, Fox has to take a beautiful, sentimental human moment and then destroy it by bludgeoning us with their over the top promotion. Will J-Lo survive? Will she take her own life when the cameras are off? Find out tomorrow. But we haven't caught up with our friend J-Lo's ass in such a long time. I can't remember the last time we had J-Lo's ass on the phone, but we thought we might find out what it's like for him being part of American Idol in season 10. Hey, J-Lo's ass, how are you?
Hello.
Hey, guys.
How you been? How you been?
I've been good. You don't call, you don't write.
It's been a while.
I haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah.
It's nice to have you guys check in with me.
You sound like you've gained a little weight. Is that accurate?
No. Okay. I think, if anything, I'm a little tighter, a little firmer than I used to be. All but, look, I'm not small. Let's not get ridiculous.
Right.
Well, we haven't checked in with you in a while because until Jennifer Lopez got hired on American Idol, she was a little bit off the radar. You know, you guys have just been staying at home with Mark and the kids and, haven't been doing all that much.
Well, this new gig, I tell you, it's a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure.
You feel it.
Yeah. Because she sits down a lot on the show.
Right.
A lot of pressure on me personally.
Right. Sure.
Having to cushion her body.
Right.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, last night, you saw it for yourself. It was very upsetting for all of us.
No, she was crying.
Yeah, she was crying. I was crying a little bit.
That was going to be my question.
That's unfortunate. That's...
Or, crying, whatever you want to call it. There was moisture.
I noticed they don't shoot her from behind anymore. I wondered if that was why.
Yeah, because sometimes you get so emotional, you can't control. You can't hold.
That's very sad.
A little gas there. My throat.
Come on. This is unfortunate. Her stomach must really be upset today.
Oh, please. Come on. Stop with that.
I don't know what I ate last night, but it's really repeating on me.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. So Fox hit us over the head with making it sound like it was the end of the world. She may not survive, not just to be a judge, but to be a human on the planet anymore. She was so downtrodden.
Yeah.
She comes back, though. I mean, everything's fine. She's still on the show. She's still a judge, right?
Look, I wish I could help you guys out, but I really can't talk about it. Jenny had me sign a non-disclosure agreement some time ago.
Really?
Yeah. I made a few comments to the press about Puff Daddy back in the day.
All right.
We had a long talk, and Jenny asked me, I really to mind my own business, and I said, well, look, you're the body.
Right.
I'm just,
you're
the,
just
ass.
The ass. That's right. Yeah,
so
I remember you told us.
Goes, I can't
of course. I remember when you told us that Diddy about wrecked you, right?
That is what you told us.
Yeah. Your lawyers told me not to talk about that stuff too much.
Okay.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that came right from Linda Feldman, I think.
Okay. I'm not familiar with her, but all right.
Yeah,
all right.
She doesn't like the whole anal sex talk so much.
Okay, well, let's move on.
That's what I'm guessing.
All right.
Yeah, let's do that.
I never met her.
Okay. So, all right. So Jenny will be back. We'll see her back on American Idol tonight. And she does manage to.
I can't tell you. What
you can't tell us.
I can't tell you. Don't you understand?
Are these live? So we really don't know. Is that the deal?
No, it's not live. We taped it.
Okay. Well, then.
Okay.
But
so
we don't know. She might. The other two judges might have to go on their own. And don't talk to Steven Tyler's ass either because he won't be able to tell you.
Is that right?
Oh, are you buds with him? Do you know him?
Oh, yeah, sure. We're very tight. Well, Steven's a little tighter than I am.
Right.
I understand.
I'm just saying, he's a scrawny little fella.
Yeah, right. There's not much to him, is there?
Yeah, no. Huh. Randy Jackson's ass, more my speed.
Right, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
I feel thin compared to Randy Jackson's ass.
Sure.
Well, I think you're doing a great job on American Idol this season. I've really enjoyed you.
Well, it's some of my best work, I think. The way I filled that chair behind the desk,
right.
I couldn't be more proud.
Sure.
And, I just want to say to all the kids who are still in the competition that I'm really pulling for them. Or
right.
pushing.
Okay.
Pushing or pulling, whatever.
Whichever it is.
And really, when things get tough, I was...
Don't.
Okay.
Was
don't please. Is that necessary? Come on. Really? This is... We have less of this. Come on, J-Lo's ass.
Listen to you, Dean.
This is...
Wow.
This is unfortunate.
But, gonna feel much better when this eventually ends.
If it does. If it eventually ends. Come on.
I was a little bitchy, dog.
Is it time for Mr. Skin?
No.
Where's Mr. Skin? With his Anatomy Awards for 2011.
Kevin Abicho here. Let me just explain to you why it sucks to work with Bean. And I don't think it's his fault. It's just who he is.
He's just as God made him.
He is connected to the internet 24/7. And if the rest of us read a story and we go, oh my God, this is an amazing story, and we're all excited and we send it out, and Bean goes, saw it last week.
Oh, you're just learning about that. I knew that 6 months ago.
I read that 6 months ago. That's a little story.
You're so behind the times.
It doesn't matter what it is. He knows.
Yeah.
He knows all. I think he's got a CNN drip.
At least when you're doing the show, then he will pretend that he didn't know to make it.
No,
more,
he can't do that either. But
I do that more than you know. But I do like to stay current. I mean, that is my thing.
Yeah, you don't
I
stay
like
current.
To, I like to know what's going on. But, look, let's talk about the thing here, because Ralph brought up a fantastic idea. And, Ralph, did we make moves to try to get the people on who are trying to get make the documentary about Adam West getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Yeah, I think they're available to talk to us tomorrow. So maybe
that's fantastic. Okay. So, Ralph, you were doing the story about these people who, and, of course, we have a great deal of respect, and we want to support them because we also would like to see Mr. West get his well-deserved star on the Walk of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about how they are raising money, and this is the hot new thing now, with this this website called Kickstarter.com. Now, they've been around for coming up on 2 years
now. Take it easy. Let me take over from here.
What? I'm giving some background here.
So this was new to all of us.
Right.
They may have been around for a couple of years, but I didn't hear about it. I didn't
Certainly
know.
Not common knowledge. Isn't right. Right.
So
I think Kickstarter's almost over.
It's possible. Look, it's very possible.
Face-starter's going to be next.
All I'm saying is it's... So Ralph does the story, and I'm like, well, what's the website? And Bean's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Yes, yes, Kickstarter. Yes, I've been there many times. I'm supporting several causes on there.
Oh, yes, I'm contributing to many projects. That's what he said.
Contributing to many projects.
Here's why Kickstarter is so awesome. They're opening a video game museum in San Francisco that they're raising money for right now through Kickstarter. They just funded a RoboCop statue in Detroit
They wanted
the city to buy. The city, of course, said, I don't have money. We're broke. Detroit's broke. We don't have money for a statue. So they went to Kickstarter. And they said, hey, donate a couple of bucks if you want a RoboCop statue. That's now happening in Detroit. These are the awesome things that are being made now.
I would do that out of comedy because it must suck for Detroit people to have a RoboCop.
Giant statue of RoboCop.
So basically, they go to the general public and they say, mm-hmm. here's my idea. I need funding.
Yes.
Okay. Right. So if you believe in it, give us some money and we'll make you an executive producer on the album, or we'll mention you in the movie or something like that.
Okay, so Bean not only knows about it, but
I'm also contributing to many several projects myself.
Right.
So Kevin and I look at each other and say, what kind of projects could Bean possibly be supporting by opening his wallet, which, as you know, has like a chastity belt on it?
It really does.
What could move him to actually try to put out a little cash for someone else's project?
But then we realized that it would all be bad.
Right.
No way you're funding good stuff. So
I'm not throwing money away after bad projects. Come on.
We'll be the judge of that. So we would like to know, you said yesterday that you're helping fund several projects.
Okay.
We would like a list of some of your investments.
What projects are you helping
support? We'd like to
support?
Look at your creative portfolio.
Your dossier.
Yes.
All right. There's a young musician named Janice Whaley, who, by the way, lives in the Bay Area. Uh-huh. And she has decided that she is going to single-handedly, a cappella, make cover versions where she sings and plays all the instruments. Well, I guess there's no instruments if it's a cappella. She is going to sing, multi-track her own voice, every song the Smiths ever recorded, and put them out as a 6-CD box set. Okay. I think I chipped in $60 toward that end.
Now, let me just
Now I get a copy of the box set when it comes out.
Okay. Who could possibly want to hear this broad sing a cappella version?
She's
of
really
every
good.
Smith song ever recorded.
She's very talented, Ralph.
Right? But the Smiths have their music.
They were pretty talented too, right?
Right, and they use you know, musicians. See, that's a horrible idea.
No, we've all heard cover versions of songs that we thought,
a song.
If not improve or replace the original, they certainly are valid artistically on their own. And I think that's the case with Janice's work. She has a very interesting and unique take on many of the selections that I've already heard.
So she's doing every song the Smiths ever did.
What a cash grab, by the way. How much money could it cost to sing without instruments into a microphone every song the Smiths ever made?
We should talk to her, and she would probably tell us that that's the only $60 she's gotten.
No, her project is more than 100% funded.
Right,
I mean,
because it doesn't cost her anything to do it.
She's singing into a microphone by herself.
She just went and got beer with your money.
Now, right, what other horrible projects are you funding?
Another awesome one that I can't wait for. This is the one that first attracted me to Kickstarter last year. And this is a woman who died a couple of years ago. So I'm already in.
So she's collecting money.
Good. So you're sending a dead woman money.
And people found out after she died that she had a lifelong hobby of photography, and she had taken over 100,000 photos and had hundreds of other rolls of unexposed, undeveloped film that she had never, that she'd never processed. And she turned out to be an unbelievably talented street photographer. She took pictures for decades all across Chicago. And her work is of such quality that it is already starting to be curated and shown in art exhibits and museums around the world. And the money that I contributed is toward making a documentary about this woman's life and her photography. And that is also going to be coming out later on this year. Her name's Vivian Meyer, and she's phenomenal.
Let me ask you this question. Photographers who take decades worth of pictures use 4 or 5, right? The rest of them, they just throw away. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure I know what you're asking.
I'm saying it was a waste of money because all of her work, I mean, really, maybe she has some good shots, but...
Yeah. Tremendous, tremendous photographer. So they're making a documentary about her life, and I think that's an unbelievably fascinating story. So I'm excited about that.
Okay.
And then one more, because I know you guys are going to want to get on, in on this. This is another photographer. His name is Anson Seal. He came across a barn in Texas that used to be used for corn storage, and he has been photographing the corn and turning them into prints that you hang on your wall. And it's really, really good stuff. And I contributed some money toward him,
too. Wait,
what? Wait! For corn pictures? Wait,
corn pictures, yeah.
A picture of corn?
Yes. Awesome pictures.
No! It's pictures of corn!
I know, but you know, you can, if you're talented enough, you can take photos of anything and make it look great. I can't wait to get these pictures and hang them in my house.
How many prints are you getting of corn?
Just one? I don't remember what I signed up for. It was two or three,
right.
I think.
Yeah. Because you know how you throw your money around. I bet you didn't pay any attention to what you were spending there with the corn photographer.
So but depending on how much you pledge, you know, you get a higher quality print, or you get a signed edition, or a framed edition, or something like that, or a coffee table book.
You need to get it signed by the corn photographer, or else it's worthless. Otherwise, it's just a photo of corn.
All I'm saying is you go to Kickstarter.com, and you can get in, too. That's what I'm telling you. That's the
give
tip.
Give the money to good things. Don't follow Beans.
These are good things.
Don't follow the girl who sings by herself in the shower, Smith songs, or the dead lady who no one cares about her photographs, or the guys taking pictures of corn.
These are artists who deserve to be helped. That's what I'm saying.
You need to be helped. That's what I'm saying.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:58.
I'm sorry, what, Kevin? I missed that last part. What?
Nothing. It's off the air.
Damn.
Only off the air.
Damn.
Dr. Drew joins us next.
Nope.
Here's the story. If you have oral sex, you will die of cancer. I saw the headline.
Not
I didn't read the article.
Story.
I saw the headline.
It's not the story.
We'll discuss with Dr. Drew coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Amin Show. Now, Ralph is here for the world's shortest showbiz beat. What's
going
on?
Don't have much time. Got to get to the important stuff. I've got tickets to give away to Paley Fest 2011. It is my favorite time of the year. The Paley Center for Media gets together, and they put together an amazing lineup of TV shows past and present. And they bring the cast and creators together in a small, intimate theater, and you get a chance to meet these people and ask them questions. They do a Q&A, and they tell you the story of the shows, and you get to meet the stars. It's really cool if you're a fan of these TV shows. If you'd like to attend, I've got two pairs of tickets for Eastbound and Down.
Yeah. That's a funny show.
Very funny show over there on HBO. Stars, of course, Danny McBride as Kenny Powers on that show. Very, very funny. If you'd like to go, just answer this trivia question. If you're a fan, it'll be easy. Danny McBride, star of Eastbound and Down, got his big break in a small independent comedy that he made with his friends. What was the name of that film?
Caught the Human Centipede.
Not the Human Centipede. No, caught the attention of Will Ferrell and his partner Adam McKay. That's how they got in business together, and it really kicked off Danny's career. Made him a star. If you know the name of the small independent comedy that Danny McBride made with his friends, call now 1-800-520-1067. First two people with the right answer get a pair of passes to see An Evening with Eastbound and Down. All right, not much time to get to. Looks like Lindsay Lohan will be going to trial for these charges of grand theft regarding that necklace. She met along with prosecutors and the judge yesterday to perhaps work out a plea bargain, but the judge informed her, if you do plea this down with me, you will be doing some jail time, which was unacceptable to Lindsay and her team. So they're going to take their chances in a court of law in front of a jury of her peers, where they're going to find 12 drunken starlets. I don't know. But we'll have to wait and see what happens there. And Charlie Sheen also in the news.
Really?
I don't understand it. I don't get it. I'm more perplexed by Charlie and the women that surround him day by day. We mentioned the other day he's got a new girlfriend who apparently is a graphic designer, is not a porn star.
Right.
And usually when you say girlfriend with Charlie Sheen, it means girl he's currently paying to F.
Yeah.
That's what that means. It's not like a real relationship.
Exclusively.
Apparently, this is a real relationship with this girl.
Okay.
Who we've now learned her name is Natalie Kenley, apparently.
Okay.
She is living with Charlie in his multi-million dollar mansion.
Right.
His ex-wife, soon-to-be ex-wife, Brooke Mueller, also moved back into the mansion this weekend.
What could go wrong with that?
And Charlie is currently living with porn star Brie Olsen, also in the mansion.
What?
How is this happening? I'd like to see the bathroom schedule at this house.
It was announced.
I'd like to see the bed schedule at this house.
It was announced this week that Charlie is leaving on a tropical vacation, taking his wife, his live-in porn star girlfriend, and his other girlfriend to some island destination that has not yet been announced, but they're all going on vacation together, the four of them.
What does Charlie have to do to Brooke Mueller for her to leave him alone?
I can't imagine why she would go back and live in his house and then vacation with him and his other girls.
Yeah. After he already choked her out and went to jail for it, right?
Yeah. It was a knife to the throat, by the way, which was it? Oh. The offense in Aspen. That was the thing that started that whole court case. And, I don't know. I can't understand. Parts of his body must be made of some magical formula or something.
He's pulling off something that none of us would be able to pull off, by the way.
By the way, this is when he's rehabbing, right?
No,
he's rehabbing his house?
That's right.
So he's going to an island, I guess, to rehab.
Yeah.
With Mai Tais or
right.
Singapore Slings or whatever the kids are drinking there's in the tropics. Anyway.
And he's supposed to start back on 2.5 Men next week.
Yeah. Come on. Come on now. What's going on?
What is going on?
What is going on?
Perplexes me. Let's talk to our winner, shall we? Henry? Should we talk to Henry?
Sure.
Henry!
What's going on, guys?
Danny McBride's Big Break was a small independent comedy film he made with a couple friends of his. What was the title?
The Foot Fist Way.
The Foot Fist Way. That's right. Very funny film.
Ooh, that's right.
Remember he was the karate instructor? Yeah. Very, very funny film. Congratulations. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details, but you're going to spend an evening with the cast and creators of Eastbound and Down.
Thanks. Loaded up and trucking.
File.
Congratulations.
We're
going to
do what they say can't be done.
Congratulations also to Dan. He's also going to check out. I've got more tickets to give away. We're going to be giving away tickets with an evening with Jimmy Fallon later today. And also tickets to the reunion of the Freaks and Geeks and Undeclared casting creators.
Sweet.
Judd Apatow. We'll be playing Can Kevin Repeat This for that. So
I'm not sure we're going to have time.
You're not going to want to miss that. No time for birthdays. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thursdays are the day. On the Kevin and Bean Show, we catch up with our friend, Dr. Drew.
Dr. Drew in the hizzy.
I'm going to tell you, not Dr. Feelgood, though. I'm going to tell
you. No, Dr. Downer is really who he is.
Yeah. Not Dr. Hey. Green Thumb, nope. Not Dr. Feelgood.
I wish you were Dr. Green Thumb as well.
Yeah. I know, and I have to hold my breath every time during one of those intros that the Missy Elliott song is going to get slipped in there.
All right, listen, we still have it. Don't worry.
I know. Sure. I'm sure.
Doctor, I'm so glad we have you on, because usually we're talking about, although they're important, they're often celebrity-based, light and fluffy topics. And yeah, we could comment on the Charlie Sheen or the Lindsay Lohan right now. But this is a serious story that came out that is not a joke, that I believe, if I read it correctly, goes like this. If you have oral sex even one time, you will die of cancer. Do I have that right, Doctor?
Precisely.
Wow. All right. Thanks for joining us today.
What's this whole thing about the HPV, and it gets transmitted through oral sex, and it's very, very serious, and that's the most common way that people are getting sex in their mouths and heads now. What's going on?
They're getting sex in
cancer
their mouths
is
and
what
cancer. Sorry, cancer. Yes.
Both, but.
Yeah, I have been talking about this on Loveline for over a year, and I don't know why it suddenly caught on. I actually retweeted the study a couple of days ago, and it was the most retweeted item I've ever put out there in the Twitter land. And this has been known for quite some time. And let's just say up front, everyone that's listening, if you are in the age of about age 9 to about age 30, go get the Gardasil or the Cervarix vaccine. Protect yourself against the subtypes of the HPV vaccines that we know for sure cause cancer. It's totally preventable with a vaccine. Now, Bean, you're a little bit out of the age range, but you can still probably get somebody to give it to you. So
I'm a little bit out of the sex range, too, and no, I can't get anyone to give anything to me.
But the fact is, you know, this vaccine took forever to come to market because of political and ideological reasons. 20,000 people die of HPV-related cancers every year. We can take that to zero just with everybody getting the damn vaccine. It's three series, a little expensive, but it's one of the safest vaccines ever internationally, and it's very effective. So the fact that people are freaking out about this and not getting the vaccine, to me, is bizarre. So let me tell you what the story is. The HPV is very common. Roughly 60% of people and young adults have the HPV, but the subtypes that cause cancer are the ones that cause persistent symptoms and warts and cause the cervical dysplastic changes when people get the pap smears, and these are the ones that cause the cancers, and yes, they've been found very commonly in head and neck cancers transmitted through oral sex and anal cancers and penile cancers. And the fact is, not everyone gets this, but it's very common now in the head and neck cancers we see later in life. One, the good news is the HPV-related cancers tend to be a little more responsive to treatment. So the prognosis is a little better.
Right.
But if you're a smoker and a drinker and you have HPV, you're going to get head and neck cancer.
Okay, let me stop you right there, doctor, because you've thrown out a lot of information there, and I have some follow-up questions here. First of all, what kind of oral sex are we talking about?
Hey,
and obviously, we don't go into specifics here, but I mean, are we talking about girl-girl, guy-guy, girl-guy, guy-girl, every combination of any possibility, or is there some that are more dangerous than others?
Any mucosal contact.
All right. Second thing is, what are the, and everybody plays the, you know, you play the risk game with any kind of dangerous, potentially dangerous behavior. What are the chances that a young person will have a regular, steady sex life that includes oral sex and not get any kind of HPV cancer if they don't have the vaccine?
HPV cancer, because you're probably going to get HPV, but you're probably not going to get the kind that causes the cancer. I would say it's somewhat irresponsible even to put a number out there, but I suspect less than 10%, you know, like less than 5% even. But it's out there, it's random, and it happens, and it's totally preventable.
That's the thing. If it's totally preventable, then there's no reason for anyone to get it.
Yeah, and by the way, how many years have we been saying use a condom for oral sex? This is why.
Well, that's ridiculous. That's BS.
I understand. Yeah. I don't want to bump your eye. I don't want to cramp your style.
And listen, Bean doesn't have that either, so let's not talk about it like that.
And then my third and final question, and this is just dealing with the reality of patients, and you know this more than anything with your day-to-day doctoring duties, is it's an embarrassing thing, they think, to go to a doctor and ask for this vaccine, even if it's something that is guaranteed to prevent this type of cancer occurrence. I mean, what's the likelihood that people who don't think there's anything wrong with it are going to go just as a preventative measure and ask for this?
I find that sort of bizarre. I actually administered the vaccines myself to my sons when their pediatrician approved it. It's available for boys and girls, men and women. It's part of routine health maintenance. We take lots of other vaccines out there that are related to things that might be less than savory. Just get the damn vaccine. It's part of health maintenance. Just say, I want Gardasil. That's all you got to say.
What is it, Gardasil?
Gardasil, or then there's another one called Cervarix. It's a little less broad in terms of the protection, but very, very good. I mean, and less expensive. But the Gardasil is sort of the main one.
Gardasil. All right.
And you should get it if you are sexually active or not sexually active, or only if you're sexually active?
Well, here's the craziness in this vaccine. People, you know, it's recommended originally for girls, you know, around the age of 12, and people went, oh, my God, it's going to make them feel, you know, like they can have sex if they want to.
Right, sure.
That's crazy. That's like saying, you know, talking to kids about wearing their seatbelt is going to make their speed in their cars. They wear their seatbelts.
No, that's a common misconception, though.
It's bizarre. And the fact is, the reason we recommend it at such a young age is that's when it's optimally effective. That's the optimal effect. You want to get the most effect. You don't want to tell kids, yep, had your vaccine now, go ahead, enjoy, have sex.
Right.
No, you're protected, so God forbid, should you ever get exposed to something, we don't have to worry about this becoming a cancer.
You must run into this all the time, particularly with the type of patients that you sometimes have, doctor, where morality comes into just whether something is good medicine or not.
What are you thinking, Bane? Keep going.
Not like you heard
no,
that.
Just what I'm saying is
like
that people are going, even though this vaccine is a good idea for 12-year-old girls, there are people who have moral issues with the possibility of that young woman one day having sex, therefore they withhold great medical treatment for them because of their own hang-ups.
That's right. There's times when morality collides with good medicine. And the fact is, if there was evidence, And by the way, they should be, morality and good manners should be lined up head to head. They should be going, rowing in unison. Because the fact is, if there was evidence that giving a vaccine at an early age had an outcome whereby young people were more sexually active and those kinds of behaviors were more likely, then we would think twice about giving that vaccine. But the fact is, there is zero evidence of anything like that. Zero.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm still stuck. Did you say that morality and medicine were rowing?
In unison, yes.
In unison?
Together. There should be conflict between the two.
Okay.
All right, so ask for Gardasil. That's what the doctor says. I would like to point out that very rarely can we say this on the show. Entertaining and educational today, thanks to our good friend, Dr. Drew.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr.
Talk to you next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye now. Bean likes to inflame things.
All right, let's... I'm serious. You have sex one time, you die. I mean, that's the message. That's the takeaway I had from that.
That's good. That's exactly what he wanted you to think. Are we going to play this game? Do we?
Yeah!
Yes, yes. Can Kevin repeat this, which is one of our all-time classic Kevin and B games. We haven't played in a long time, but if you want to be a contestant, 1-800-520-1067. I think if I remember correctly, we're doing it's a night at the Paley Center of Judd Apatow TV shows, Undeclared, Freaks and Geeks, that sort of thing.
Right.
So if that sounds like a fun prize for you, you can play the game. 1-800-520-1067. Can Kevin repeat this right after this on the Kevin and Bean? Give me that theme song I've missed so much, ladies and gentlemen. Can Kevin repeat this?
Do you think Kevin can repeat this?
Nope.
Do you think Kevin can repeat?
Uh-uh.
Do you really think Kevin can repeat this? No, I didn't think so, neither do I. Do you think Kevin can repeat this?
No.
Do you think Kevin can repeat this?
No.
Do you think Kevin can repeat this?
No. It's about halfway over. You want to hear the rest of the beat?
I think that's enough.
That's
I think
the longest intro ever.
It's literally halfway through.
Here's your host, Ralph Garman. Tell us what we're playing for today.
Today we are playing for tickets. Two pairs of passes to spend an evening with the cast and creators of two of my favorite television programs, Freaks and Geeks and Undeclared. It is the reunion of the Freaks and Geeks and Undeclared cast. The thing they have in common, of course, is Judd Apatow, who was the executive producer and, in some cases, creator on both of those shows. And so they're going to bring everybody back together. If you're a fan of those shows, you're certainly going to spend an evening with these guys because these are two really kind of cult shows. Mm-hmm. They each only last a season, but they've got very devoted followers. And I'm sure there are people on phone now would love to attend.
And great casts, too. All right. Can Kevin repeat this is the game? And, Ralph, basically you're going to read a sentence about these shows. And then the caller is just going to have to decide whether they think Kevin is going to be able to repeat that, that sentence back word for word, right?
He just has to repeat the sentence that I read. That's all he has to do.
Okay. All right. Let's see how it goes. My problem is
whatever the last word is, that's front and center, and it won't move. And everything else before it is gone. That's how it works, man.
Jose is going to be contestant number one. We only have two pairs of tickets to this event. It's at the Paley Center. When is it going to be, Ralph, for folks who maybe don't win but still want to go?
It happens on March the 12th, and you can go to paleycenter.org for more information.
Hey, great event. Hi, Jose. You ready to play?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, here's how it's going to work. We're going to turn Kevin's headphones down right now. Ralph is going to tell you the sentence. Then Kevin will come back up with us, and we'll find out if he can repeat or not. You just have to decide whether Kevin can say this sentence again.
Jose, will he be able to repeat this sentence? Freaks and Geeks starred Linda Cardellini, James Franco, Jason Segel, and Seth Rogen.
No, wait. Will
he
just say no?
Okay. All right. You know our boy. All right, bring Kevin back in. All right, Kevin, you ready for your sentence?
Yes.
Here we go.
I'm like Lindsay waiting for my sentence.
Freaks and Geeks starred Linda Cardellini, James Franco, Jason Segel, and Seth Rogen.
I hope you said no, Jose.
Freaks and Geeks starred a person I've never heard of.
Okay. Congratulations, Jose. You've won tickets for the event at the Paley Center. Well
done.
Come on,
thank you.
See, here's the thing for future contestants. Any list...
You do seem to have problems with lists.
I'm out. I mean, I wish I could do better, but I just can't.
You may have pugilistic dementia. Were you ever a fighter?
Too much.
Were you ever a fighter?
Yeah, I used to kickbox. I told you, I got knocked out many times.
That's what I'm saying.
Let's try Jordan, contestant number two, joining us here on the Kevin Abid Show. Can Kevin repeat this? Jordan, you ready to play?
Yes.
All right, let's say goodbye to Kevin.
Turn down Kevin's headphones. Jordan, can Kevin repeat this sentence? Undeclared, centered on a group of college freshmen at the fictional University of Northeastern California.
I've lost a lot of faith through the years, so I, I'm gonna continue with no.
You're gonna say no.
You're gonna say no. Okay, let's bring Kevin back into the conversation here. All right, Kevin, I feel good. I got good feelings about this one, man.
What did he say? Yes or no?
Well,
we can't tell you.
You
can't tell.
Here's your sentence, Kevin.
All right.
Undeclared, centered on a group of college freshmen at the fictional University of Northeastern California.
Undeclared, centered on a group of students.
Congratulations, Jordan.
A fictional college
is what we were looking for there.
Oh, yeah. You remember the name of the fictional college?
Oh, no.
God, no. Right, so I would have gotten. Jordan said no, you would not be able to repeat that, Kevin. And so Jordan is our second winner. That's it. We're out of passes, right?
I like that people bet against me on that one because then they win.
Yes,
pretty regularly.
Exactly.
And I don't ruin it for them.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. That's no fun for anyone. And we're going to come back with Mr.
Here's all I'm saying. If you don't believe that Mr. Skin is the best human in the world ever, then you are skinsane.
Nicely done.
Mr. Skin, Mr. Skin, Mr. Skin.com.
Mr. Skin.com, that's the place to go. For less than a buck a day, you can see every hot chick in every movie ever. Right
and
there
TV.
On your computer.
And TV as well,
right.
Yeah. And this is a very big week for our friend Mr. Skin because the Anatomy Awards have just been released. Mr. Skin, welcome back to the Kevin DeBeach Show, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, hey, guys. You know, like, it's almost like I'm an accountant and this is April 15th.
Sure,
it's like
right.
That's how busy this day is. Because you have the Oscars on Sunday night, and I release at this time every year my Anatomy Awards. And believe it or not, it's the 12th annual. I can't
wow.
Yeah, I've been
look
doing
at that.
This.
You deserve an award.
Yeah.
And I know that you make lists throughout the year, and you have some very heated debates there in the offices of Mr. Skim, but you must really ramp it up this time of year because you know how many eyes are going to be on this particular list.
Yeah, and, you know, I have a writing team. I have a content team, the guys that go through all the movies, and everyone fights for what they think is the best in these different categories. In the end, I have to make the final call, but it's spirited debate, if you will,
sure.
When we go over this.
Has anyone ever quit? That's it. I'm out of here. I quit.
If you don't give me my pick for best butt, I don't want to work here anymore. What are your categories this year, and who do you want to focus on today, Mr. Skin?
And by the way, just before you say that, if you want to go to kevinandb.com, we do have pictures up and links and stuff so
yeah,
that you can see it all.
I heard this morning. I'm really excited. Thanks so much. That's great,
thank
guys.
You.
Yeah, we actually have 40 categories, so if anyone wants to go to our website, you could go and see the pictures of all 40 of these things, and it's really amazing. I hate to say it, you know, it probably sounds cliche, but this is the best year ever, and TV has a lot to do with it. But as an example, you can't do an Anatomy Awards without talking about the best breasts, and my winner this year, actually, a lot of people love Anne Hathaway and Love and Other Drugs, but Jessica Paré in The Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, here's this girl with, like, gosh, 36D natural breasts, but in perfect HD. But what was really cool about her is later in the year, she got the job on Mad Men as Don Draper's secretary. And anyone who follows Mad Men knows that was a big moment at the end of the season, and she became very popular after that. Now, I don't know if she's more proud of the Mad Men role or winning Best Breasts, but
I'm sure Best Breasts.
Yeah, she does have Mad Mams, so anyway. Jessica Paré won Best Breasts. Now, Best Lesbian Scene every year, there's an important award, as you guys know, and we had people vote for the top categories because we had so many Nama-nudes. What's funny is the people that voted at our website, we had thousands and thousands of people vote over the last 3 weeks. They actually chose the Mila Kunis and Natalie Portman and Black Swan as the best lesbian.
That's what I'm talking about.
But I had to overrule the people because that did not have nudity. And in what I do for a living, I could never award a best lesbian scene as hot as it was.
That was hot.
As hot as it was without nudity. So I chose what I thought the best lesbian scene was Amanda Seyfried and Julianne Moore in Chloe.
Oh, which, yes.
Where they got completely nude. And if you watch the video, you'll know why I thought this was the best. And it was the rare cougar and kitten lesbian scene, which you don't see often, the older woman, younger girl, and it was just a great moment this year in lesbianism.
And the beautiful thing about MrSkin.com is you don't have to choose. You can accept Mr. Skin's ruling as which is the best, but you're free to enjoy both in whichever way you need to.
Of course. We just have to choose one. It's very tough.
Sure.
Like, and again, there's 40 categories. We're not going to get close to all of them, but, you know, every year I have a there's awards that you'll probably see, 1 year and that's it. They're one and done's because right. You're never going to get them again. A great example is Best Glowing Boobs, and the winner this year was Lola Davidson in The Caretaker, and she had fake breasts, and what she did in this horror movie at night to tease her boyfriend, she took two flashlights and put them under her breasts and called them booba lanterns. And
wow.
Yeah, and it was so cool because if you look at the picture, they're like her breasts turned orange in the dark. It was so cool. Yeah, and it's you could see the thing at our site, but like that's the kind of stuff we really celebrate, like neat, crazy things. Like
we did
Best Nude Parasailing in Piranha 3D, the great movie, which by the way won Best Picture.
Oh, easily the Best Picture.
Yeah, this was just a brilliantly gratuitous scene where Gianna Michaels, who's a real life porn star, was literally nude parasailing, and then it was in 3D, and it just became a classic. So we had that this year, and. Even the you guys would get a kick out of the best upskirt scene, and the reason this is fun is these are things that if you're just watching a movie or a TV show at normal speed, your chances are most guys would miss this, but we at the skin offices don't. And
well, you watch everything in slow mo.
Yeah, exactly. I wish the world was in slow mo.
That's the way to
do it.
I'd
be a lot better off. But Amanda Seyfried, who is gorgeous,
yeah,
and actually
yeah.
a two-time winner this year, had the best upskirt in a movie called Boogie Woogie. She was rollerblading wearing like a Catholic schoolgirl, like one of those little skirts,
sure.
And fell down. And it is just amazing that this happened in a movie. And I'd hate for people to have missed it that were watching the movie, and of course we didn't. And that was our best upskirt of 2010.
Let me ask you a couple quick questions in our remaining moments with the great Mr. Skin here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Did I hear correctly that Riley Steele from Piranha 3D graciously accepted the Mr. Skin Award this year, was very, very happy to have received the honor? Is that true?
Yeah, she was really cool. She actually filmed an acceptance speech and was very proud of it. And I was very honored. And she made some great references to her co-star, Kelly Brook, and how she enjoyed all the naked romping and kissing and whatever else they did. It was very nice. Very, very cool of her to do that.
And my other question is, because you know every actress out there, how hot they are and where and when they're nude, who's the nudecomer this year? Who's the one that you would like us to keep our eyes on as 2011 continues to unfold?
Well, this is an award I love because this is how I can find actresses that you guys won't know about, but I think you should get on your radar ASAP. This year's winner, and there was a lot of good-looking nudecomers this year, Sharon Hinnendale, from a Showtime series called Look. Now, Look aired on Showtime at the weirdest times. One night on Sunday, it was on at 12:08, and the next week, it was on at 12:37 a.m.
Was it a movie?
Crazy show that was like surveillance cameras or
yeah,
something?
You got it. It was about it's life seen through the many cameras that follow us. And we really dug it because the nudity was great. But this girl, Sharon Hinnendale, I'll tell you what, when you watch the video of all, we have a video of all 40 some of these scenes back to back to back. The first scene is her. Just watching that scene is enough for people to understand why she won Nude Coming. It is
right.
Mind-blowing how great she looks, and hopefully she'll do more nudity. I don't know how you can do more nudity than she did in Look, but hopefully she will. Yeah,
well, you've given us a lot to think about and a lot to be grateful for. You can see highlights of some of what we've talked about here at kevinandbean.com. Look for the Mr. Skin posting. And, of course, you owe it to yourself to go to mrskin.com and sign up. Yes, Kevin?
I'm sorry. I have one last question, and that is, could I read this on my Skindle?
Yes, you can.
Okay,
and actually, that's funny, but don't forget, on your phone or iPad, our site looks beautiful, too.
Sure. All right. Mr. Skin, we love you, man. We hope we have you back on again real soon. Thank you.
I love you guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, man. Thank you, Lisa. It's world-famous K-Rock at 8:53.
Seth MacFarlane, creator of The Family Guy and American Dad, is going to be live in concert next month. Why should you go see him? We'll find out when we talk to Seth coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph joins us for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Speaking of American Dad, they just got picked up for another season.
How about that? This is like season 7 or 8 or something already?
I had it crazy here someplace. It's up there, yeah, but it's good news for those guys. We've been talking about the Paley Festival all morning long. I've got passes to give away for an evening with Jimmy Fallon. How about that? If you're a fan of Jimmy Fallon's late night show, get to spend an evening with him talking about the creation of the show. I'm sure he'll talk about some Saturday Night Live stories as well.
I wonder if he'll sing.
I wonder if he'll bring out that guitar and give us some rockin' highlights. If you'd like to spend an evening with Jimmy Fallon on March the 11th, I've got two pairs of passes to give away to the first two callers with the correct answer to this very simple trivia question. When Jimmy was on SNL, of course, he manned the desk of Weekend Update,
Who did he share the desk with? What other SNL performer did he used to do Weekend Update with? Call now, 1-800-520-1067. You know the answer? You get through, you win. It's just that simple.
He's the second best Jimmy in late night, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I guess so. Mm. Yeah.
He's the only second.
What's Craig Ferguson's real first name? I'm just wondering. Paris Hilton.
Guilty.
Had her cake stolen at her birthday party. Did you hear about this last week?
No.
Yeah. She was planning a big sponsored birthday bash.
Sponsored.
And someone made off with the cake that was in her honor.
Sponsored, meaning she got people to donate stuff for free?
No, it's like they pay her to make an appearance at the party, and they give her a birthday party in her honor. But it's like a gig more than anything else. But still, it was her party.
Gotcha.
And the cake was stolen.
That's funny.
Now we know the culprit.
Oh. Lindsay Lohan?
That's right. Lindsay stuffed it under her skirt. The mystery thief names himself Paz, and he has posted on his Facebook page that he was, in fact, the person who stole the cake, but it went to a good cause, says Paz.
Oh, very mysterious.
He sliced up the $3,200 cake. By
How do you make a cake that's that expensive?
Out of diamonds. And
seriously.
Gold flour.
Why don't you ask your friend the Ace of Cakes,
yeah,
Kevin? You're the
Kevin.
One who likes him.
You love the cake show so much.
I don't like any of those.
Cake boss. Ask the cake boss.
He'll tell you.
$3,200.
$3,200 for a cake.
Little markup there.
Sliced it up and served it to the homeless people in downtown Los Angeles.
That's what Paris would have done with it.
Paz says 125 folks got a piece of Paris's cake, so it went to a good cause. If you're going to steal, it's like a modern-day Robin Hood.
It is.
Right.
Steals from the stupid and gives to the poor.
Now, might he be arrested for that since he's copping to the crime now? Seems like he's putting himself at legal jeopardy.
He wasn't on jeopardy. That was Watson. That was a computer. It was very different. I don't know what the ramifications are of Facebook. Are you able to create an anonymous Facebook page? Can you do that?
No, he could also. I don't know.
I'm not familiar with the ins and outs of Facebook all so much.
I mean, you can create one just with any email address, but I'm sure they'd be, if they really were motivated enough, to be able to track it back to whoever started.
But if you did it like a Gmail account or something that was disposable,
right,
could you just disappear after you made that post?
Look, the cops aren't going to spend much time tracking down whoever brings harm to Paris Hilton. Whatever.
I'm guessing not. I got a story here now. Fox has renewed American Dad for a 7th season.
Fantastic.
That extends it through 2013. And that's odd, usually, for a series to get renewed that far in advance. But because of all the work that takes place to do the storyboarding and the recording and the animation for a project like this, that's when they have to do it. But congratulations to Seth and the gang over there. Very exciting TV news over at CBS. This caught me by surprise. Only, again, because I don't know anyone who watches this show, and I certainly have never seen
Bean's
an episode.
Dad.
But NCIS beat Glee for the first time ever this week in the 18 to 49-year-old demographic.
Really?
NCIS was up 22% over the previous week, although it's too
soon
to tell whether this will last or not. Apparently, it got a big boost. Not that I know of. Again, I am a little NCIS ignorant when it comes to this show. I'm not very familiar with it.
Bean's dad. We got to ask Bean's dad. Bean, email your dad and ask him what's spectacular.
He can be our CBS correspondent. Yeah. He can kind of fill us in on what's going on over there.
Chief.
I know they've got a new criminal intent or criminal minds or whatever that is, so I'm very excited about that. I was flipping around last night, and I see Forrest Whitaker.
Yes, Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker and Janine Garofalo talking
to
each other. I was like, what the hell is this? Mom was like, oh, that's the new Criminal Minds.
Yep.
I said, there was an old Criminal Minds? I know very little about the CBS program. Mentalist, that's pretty much it for me.
Man, my girlfriend, Rachel Nichols, who you know loves me, she has a recurring role on that Criminal Minds as well, and I still don't watch it. That's how adverse I am to CBS.
Wow. Good thing we don't work for them.
Yeah.
CBS. They might take it out on us. Let's see if we have a winner in my trivia question, shall we? Should we talk to Myrna?
Myrna.
Myrna?
Oh, Myrna is so hot.
Myrna?
Yes,
I am. Are you hot?
Yes.
Yeah, I bet you are.
Are
Myrna.
You knitting right now, Myrna?
No, I'm not.
All right.
Do you have a cat?
I do.
Do you get around with a walker?
No, I'm not old.
It's an old name.
Do you spend a lot of time at Indian casinos?
No.
Right. Will you never marry?
I am married.
Wow. All right.
Wow. We don't know Myrna.
Is bingo a popular pastime for you, Myrna?
No.
All right.
Wow.
Snowboarding.
Wow. Myrna snowboards.
At your age?
Your turn.
You broke a hip, Myrna.
Broke a hip.
That's right. Myrna, what was who was the performer that Jimmy Fallon shared the Weekend Update desk with on Saturday Night Live?
Tina Fey.
Tina Fey, indeed.
Never heard of her.
We're going to give you a pair of passes to spend the evening with Jimmy Fallon.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Hold on. We'll give you all the details. Congratulations also to Sky, who also won. Sky is either a really cool dude or a female stripper. I don't know who she is. But,
Hey, Myrna, Sky.
Sky.
Hi. Good morning.
Sky, are you a stripper?
No, I'm not. You guys actually asked me that question before, too.
Your name is Sky.
I'm going to ask you every time you talk to us. I'm going to ask you that
question. We'll ask you next time as well. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right.
And by the way, Myrna says she's married. She's just thinking of the young man that brings her pudding in the home every night, right? She considers that her husband.
I'm going to go with hot on her.
No.
For on
Myrna?
Sky?
Mm-hmm.
On Sky?
Myrna or Myrna? Sky?
Both. Both.
I think Sky's way
but
hot.
But I'm saying Myrna.
Maybe she does snowboard, and that's a pretty good tip-off.
I think Myrna's high. Maybe setting you up with the jab there by having that name, and then
could
she hits you, hits you with the cross.
And that's the beauty or the ugly?
No, that's the beauty.
Okay, that's what
you're,
I think.
You're
we got to start taking our winners through Skype, not through the phone, so we can get a look at them.
No time for my email. I got a great email.
That's a shame.
Oh, what a shame.
Maybe tomorrow.
No, maybe next hour. I still have one more show.
Or tomorrow, or maybe next month.
No, next Showbiz Beat. I think we can squeeze it in.
Or in a year.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Floyd Mayweather is 34 years old today. Bonnie Somerville, very talented, lovely actress from NYPD Blue, is 37. Billy Zane celebrates his 45th birthday. Steve Jobs, co-founder of Apple, turns 56. Deborah Jo Rupp, who played the mom on That 70s Show, is 60. And Edward James Olmos celebrates his 64th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Congratulations to Brian Mayer from Pasadena. Just got the new Foo Fighters CD and qualified for that trip for two to see them in the Swiss Alps.
Nice.
For all the details, go to krock.com. It's 9/11.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Give me a little Seth MacFarlane intro music, would you please?
Family Guy centers around a typical New England family.
You can't ask me to make dinner, Lois. It's like asking me to choose between Sarah Jessica Parker and Kirsten Dunst in a hot body weird face contest. It can't be done.
Yes, you have AIDS.
Not HIV, but full-blown AIDS.
Fat chicks need love, too, but they gotta pay.
I'm a bigger hit with the kids than Will Smith and his nice, clean rap.
Woo! I respect women when I'm on a date. I take them to the park or maybe a museum, and I only try to kiss them if they're ready. Woohoo!
Fess up or I'll do to you what I did to John Lennon.
John, have you met Yoko? Yoko, John?
They will clean up all your talking in a manner such as this.
They will make you take a tinkle when you want to take a...
And they'll make you call fellatio a trouser-friendly...
They may just be neurotic or possibly psychotic. They're the fellas at the freaking FCC.
Well, nice intro, but now we're out of time. We have no more time to speak with Mr. McFarlane. Hey, Seth, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
I have to ask you, does the music that I'm hearing when I'm on hold waiting for you guys, is that the same stuff you're playing live on the radio?
If you were hearing Family Guy clips, yes.
All right, so you weren't playing the song that could have been used in a late 90s Renee Zellweger comedy trailer.
What was the last song we played, Kevin, before the interview? What was it?
It was Green Day.
Yes.
That was it.
It was Basket Case, yes.
Oh, Basket Case, yeah. All right, we accept your score,
Renee
Seth.
Renee Zellweger or Sandra Bullock, that song would fit perfectly in any trailer. For
you are correct.
Yes, we have been roundly mocked. Thank you, Mr. McFarlane. We appreciate that. Here's the thing about...
It's all out of love, you two. You're just awesome.
Here's the thing about Mr. Funny Guy Seth MacFarlane. Ooh, look at me with my wacky voices and all of my cartoon series that I cheat death on 9/11 and I'm better than you are. Now you've got an orchestra and now you're recording at Capitol Records and you're putting out an album this fall and you're taking it on the road. Is there nothing you can't do?
I promise I'm not better than you are. I'm not really that good at sports.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well, we got that at least.
You get me out on the croquet field. Forget it.
Croquet? That's not a sport.
Good choice. tell us where your love of musical theater started, Seth.
My parents exposed me to all the classic shows when I was a kid at a very early age, and they both sang. And, they just kind of imbued a sense of appreciation for shows, but also
actual instruments or orchestras or orchestral music. That was kind of ingrained in me from an early age, so I learned to like it.
You've done a lot of shows where you have the Family Guy characters on stage, and you sing with the Family Guy characters. This is none of that, though, right? This is separate. It's a different thing.
Yeah, this is straight. I was approached by Universal Republic Records after we did that variety show for Fox,
right?
A while back, and they said, "Listen, do you want to make a record?" And I said, "Sure." said, "Well, what kind of record would you like?" I said, "Well, if you're asking me, you know, I'm so friggin' comedied out at the moment. I'd like to do like a really, you know, just kick ass old style." You know, big band album. And so.
And we're talking about playing it straight. I mean, would this be something that I'd put on my CD shelf next to my Sinatra and my Michael Bublé?
We will find out.
Okay. Hopefully.
We'll find out if it works. But you know, we put a lot of work into it. We recorded it. I got together with Joel McNeely, who composes for us on American Dad, who's just a truly brilliant big band arranger in his own right. And we picked 15 kind of lesser known songs, and
good.
He did these just amazing arrangements. We recorded in Sinatra's old studio at Capitol with about a 55 piece orchestra, sang live with the orchestra, all of us right there in the room at the same time. Every microphone was at least 50 years old. The mic that I used was actually Sinatra's mic that was on loan to Capitol from the Smithsonian. Recorded everything to analog tape, so it has that old kind of rich warmth that you hear from those old recordings. It's a lot of work to really capture what we hope is, you know, an authentic sound of something that could have been recorded 50 years ago.
We've been lucky enough to have been in that room you're describing at Capitol Records, and there's so much history in there. And Kevin, I know you don't usually care about stuff like this, but when we were in there, remember we did the live show with Green Day, we did another show in that same room with Smashing Pumpkins. You're standing there and you're going, freaking Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys was recorded in this room. There is something kind of special about the, you know, just being in that place where so much great history has gone down.
Yeah, there's a lot of history. And, you know, it's amazing. There are engineers who can listen to a song and tell you exactly which studio it was recorded in.
I mean,
it's amazing. Yeah,
that is amazing. You know, how do you rank yourself as a vocalist, Seth? How do you think you are as a singer?
That is not for me to judge, sir. That is for the...
for the audience,
the record buying.
Yeah, what do you expect
public?
Him to say, Bean? I am fantastic.
Well, I mean, is this something that you have you've trained for a long time, studied a long time, taken a lot of lessons?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I've been singing since I was a kid. When I got out to L.A. and it became clear that we were going to be doing a lot of music on Family Guy, I started training with a couple, both in their 90s, Lee and Sally Sweetland, who trained a lot of great performers, Sinatra among them at one point, Streisand, believe it or not, and they are kind of a nice repertoire, and they beat the hell out of me and whipped me into shape, I was lucky enough to have that training and figure, what the hell, might as well use it for something. Curious, you know?
Very bold. Let me tell you about Seth MacFarlane on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. If you want to see the show live that we are describing with orchestra, it's going to be at the Club Nokia coming up on Saturday, March 26th. This is at LA Live, downtown Los Angeles. Tickets are going on sale this Saturday at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster. So this is going to be an entire evening of music. It's going to be you out there with the orchestra, I assume, doing the album and other songs, right, Seth?
Yep. Yeah. And these are all we're doing the album start to finish, and all the musicians who played on the album are there. I mean, these are some of the best jazz musicians in the world, and it's going to be a blast.
Are you all
sounds
afraid
like a great
that
show.
Somebody in the back is going to go, "Hey, do Stewie"?
Yeah, and that almost certainly that will happen.
It will, because I will be doing it. You will
recognize Kevin is
going to
be the one who's going to be yelled at. All right, listen, congratulations. I wish the album weren't coming. I mean, the album's not coming out until September. It'd be great if people had a chance to hear it before they even come to the show, but no way, huh?
Yeah, you know, we finished it thinking it was going to be released in March, and the reception from the label was so much better than we could have possibly hoped, so they decided to give us a bigger rollout in September, which was great.
Well, fantastic.
Look, this is fine to be your little side project, but you're still a Family Guy to us, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yes.
All right, I just want to make sure.
Always. This is not gonna... You needy, needy
suddenly.
That's us. We always need from you.
And Seth MacFarlane, as always, a pleasure to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Congratulations on the American Dad pickup, too. We're very pleased about that news as well. And have a great time again at the Nokia, folks. If you want to buy tickets this Saturday at 10 through Ticketmaster, the date, March 26th, Club Nokia for Seth MacFarlane in concert. Thanks for coming on, dude.
Always a pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you, man. Bye. We have a pair of tickets to give away, too, by the way, if you want to be caller 20.
No way!
1-800-520-1066. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9:42.
Ralph Garman joins us for our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show. What you talking about, Ralph?
Don't send me pictures of Corin Bean. That's all I'm saying.
I thought you sounded interested in the project that I was funding.
Send me pictures of Corin.
He didn't sound interested at all.
I thought you might want to get one for your own home.
For those of you who missed it, we were talking about Kickstarter.com earlier this morning, which is a website where people who have mostly creative projects are looking for funding can appeal directly to their audience and say, if you'd like to see this, you know, help fund me, send in some donations, and I can get my project off the ground. And Bean has a list of horrendous projects that he is funding, one of which is a guy who is taking photos exclusively of corn. And so Bean thought for some reason I needed to see one of the corn photos.
I didn't feel that I did it justice in describing the project, so thought maybe if you saw one of the prints, you might understand why I was so excited.
Let's find out.
Oddly enough, it was better in your description than it was in reality.
I think it's good-looking corn.
I saw the picture, it was a close-up of an ear of corn.
Right. And okay. I'm going to have that hanging on the wall in my house when it arrives after the project is funded.
Let's say it's the best picture ever of corn. Right? That's a given. It's the best
This
ever.
Guy's the Ansel Adams of corn.
It's still corn.
But when I have my American Indian friends over, imagine how at home they'll feel.
But they call it maize. They wouldn't even know what you're talking about. Yeah. Where's the maize photos?
He has American Indian friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless there's an American Indian radio. He doesn't know him.
He's got the teepee and the wampum. The morning show they've got over there about the... All right, let's talk show business, shall we? Charlie Sheen's still in the news. Apparently he is taking a vacation. Thank God, because who's been through more hard work than Charlie has lately?
It's true.
He's been at home, rehabbing, giving out cars and cash to hundreds of porn actresses. Mm-hmm. Must be exhausting. So he is getting away on a tropical vacation with his live-in porn star girlfriend.
Okay.
Her name is Brie Olson.
All right.
And his soon-to-be ex-wife, Brooke Mueller, who has moved back into his mansion over the weekend. She's going on vacation with him and Brie.
Are they staying in the same room, do you think? I mean, is this all?
Of course.
What?
Sheen would have it no other way, I'm sure. And let's not forget his new girlfriend, Natalie Kenley. She also is going with him. So the four of them are going to have a nice little vacation, you know? If they're adults, four people can go on vacation together.
How does he work that?
Sure, they get along.
I know he's a star, and I know he's got money, but that's impressive.
By the way, this Natalie Kenley, she is the one that he was seen making out with, where the reporter said, "Who's your new girlfriend? What's her name?" He said, "Her name is none of your effing business."
Right.
And then it was reported by me via Good Morning America. They're reporting that she was a graphic artist.
Right.
And we said, "Wow, she sounds like she's got a real job and everything. How can she be Charlie Sheen's girlfriend?" Well, we found out a little bit more about Natalie Kenley.
Okay.
Turns out she's not so much a graphic artist as she is a marijuana bikini model.
All right. What? Is there such a thing?
Yes, apparently there is.
Is it a marijuana bikini?
She was a model in a magazine called Cali Chronic X, which only features girls in various stages of undress posing with bongs and joints.
Okay.
Her claim to fame was posing in a Girl Scout vest, panties, and a strategically placed bong.
All right, that's very different.
It's everything Charlie loves in one picture. I'll tell you that much. Forget your pictures of corn. This is a picture of a girl dressed as a Girl Scout smoking out of a bong, looking like a whore. It's Charlie Sheen's dream girl. They're together.
But so and he's also with the porn star and the ex-wife. All three of them.
All three of them and Charlie are going to the Bahamas. So enjoy.
I know less about this woman than you do, Ralph, but one of the stories yesterday did have a mugshot of her from some previous escapade as well. So.
How dare you, sir. I find that hard to believe.
Yeah.
Kendra Wilkinson and Hank Baskett, apparently marriage is not going well.
Oh, no.
Kendra, of course, was one of the girlfriends of Hugh Hefner for a long period of time. Then she left Hugh because she fell in love with NFL player Hank Baskett. They got together and had a baby and got married, but apparently things just aren't working out. How can that be?
What is that?
That's how.
They had a reality show. How can that not work out once you have a reality show?
Yeah.
I thought that cemented everything. I thought that made everything, you know.
I believe Kiss of Death is what you're looking
for. Oh, that's right. It's the Kiss of Death. Speaking of Hugh Hefner, he and his bride-to-be Crystal Harris have set the wedding date. Apparently June 18th is the date, so you may want to clear your calendars if you're expecting an invite. If you're not, I'll tell you how it goes.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to it.
Good.
Oh, my, Kendra, you do have a terrific vagina.
It's going to be a intimate and personal affair, says Hef, held at the Playboy Mansion. I guess they're going to have to strain the jacuzzi. You have to run a skimmer through the pool for this one because it's a classy affair.
You have to drain it.
Put a little more penicillin in the grotto.
You have to drain it. Start from scratch.
Isn't everybody who's been to the Playboy Mansion the last year in the hospital now, Ralph? Isn't there some huge sickness outbreak going on?
How dare you, sir, blaming that on the mansion. The mansion was rented out for a private affair.
Uh-huh.
And there was some people who attended the event who did come down with Legionnaire's disease.
What is that?
Legionnaire's disease is a respiratory infection, Kevin, made famous by the convention of Legionnaires, the American Legion, guys who were in a hotel in Philadelphia, of all places, where they came down with this brand new disease that was forever after called Legionnaire's disease.
Okay.
And it attacks the respiratory system and gives you a fever and the shakes, and I think your toenails fall off and...
don't sound sexy.
Genital warts. I'm not sure it's all the symptoms, but it's not good.
You don't want it.
But they have traced it back to the hotel where these people had the conference before they went to the after party at the mansion. That's where they got it, was at the hotel. So it was not the mansion's fault at all, and I will not have you speaking ill of that hallowed institution. So there's your answer.
Okay. Wow.
Lady Gaga's putting too much pressure on herself, say friends. She's constantly trying to outdo herself professionally, musically, and of course, when it comes to her outrageous outfits.
Well, you can't tell. I mean,
she doesn't look like she's trying too hard.
No, she looks normal.
Friends are afraid she might have a breakdown because she's just putting too much pressure on herself in her high-paced, fast, razor-edge lifestyle.
Put on some jeans and a hoodie and go out of the house. It'll be fine.
Can't do that.
Can't do it. You got
to
top
what was
last.
New kinds of foodstuffs to make clothing out of. Oh, maybe she'd make a dress of corn, then Bean could take some pictures of it.
That 60 Minutes interview that she did a couple of weeks ago, she had put, it looked like she had implants in her face that made her look like the Borg on Star Trek. It was just ridiculous.
You know, Lisa May.
Hey, Gene Simmons is here. What's up, Gene Simmons?
It's nice to see you, Rob.
Good to see you, Gene Simmons.
I'd be interested in putting an implant in your face.
Oh, come on now.
Okay.
I'm not even really sure what that means, but it sounds filthy.
It did sound bad.
Oh, I know. Speaking of implants and boobs... Natalie Portman's life isn't quite as perfect as she wants us to believe. You know, she's pregnant with her fiancé, Benjamin Millepied.
Uh-huh.
His baby. And apparently the relationship is already struggling because she just hasn't had any time for him.
She wants me.
Due to her busy career and all the award season and stuff like that, all the press she's doing and all the award shows she has to attend. And so Benjamin Millepied... is feeling a little left out.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Oh, my God, you're such a girl.
Just saying, you know, the Oscar curse, they say. If you win Best Oscar.
Best as an Oscar.
Actress. Best Actress Oscar. The odds of your relationship going belly up are much more significant than in any other category.
Is there any evidence cited in this story that there's tension in the relationship? Or
yes.
Just insiders are suspecting.
In Touch magazine is saying it.
Friends? Mm-hmm.
Friends are telling In Touch magazine, what more information do you need?
Good point.
Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
In the news yesterday, she appeared before Judge Keith Schwartz, and boy, was the judge happy when she appeared. See how she was dressed yesterday?
Yes, I did.
That was some low-cut sweater she was rocking there.
Like it.
Yeah. They were trying to work out a plea bargain for her violations of her probation and also the count of grand theft. Regarding that necklace that somehow walked out of a jewelry store. We're not really sure quite yet. She's innocent until proven guilty, people.
Right.
And the judge said, look, no matter what kind of plea you're looking for, if we do make a plea today, it will involve some jail time for you. And so Lindsay and her team said, you know what? we're going to stick with the story that we didn't steal it and take it to court. So everybody has to meet again in front of March 10th. They'll be in front of the bar, and then we'll have to see what happens then. But the judge suggested she undergoes psychological counseling, get a new sponsor, and get on with her life.
How does she do that if he's going to send her to jail?
Well, in the meantime, get on with your life, and then we'll stop it again once we put you in jail. Charlie Sheen has volunteered to be her sponsor.
Oh, great.
So, no, I'm just kidding. That wouldn't be a good idea.
And he's got a vacation for her.
That's right. Maybe we'll all go to the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Natalie Portman, I got an email here from listener Juan Vargas. He wrote an email. More information, Bean. By the way, you're asking for evidence that the relationship between her and her fiancé is getting rocky.
All right.
Juan Vargas writes, "Dear Ralph, the Oscars are almost here. The show should be great this year, primarily because there are so many good movies nominated. I'm really rooting for Natalie Portman because she was so good in Black Swan. Although we all know she won't be looking her usual slim self at the ceremony because she's pregnant, of course. Reportedly, her choreographer, fiancé Benjamin Millepied, has been expressing joy at seeing her breast naturally increase in size as well due to the pregnancy. Not wanting to get her giddy fiancé too overly excited, Natalie has been heard telling him, 'Honey, boobs are for the baby!'"
Unbelievable.
That's from Juan Vargas in Whittier, California. Thank you so much.
Really?
Juan. We appreciate your input here
really?
On the show.
But it's no longer needed.
It is needed and welcome.
Thank you for your input.
And we appreciate it. And
we do appreciate it.
And thank you very much.
Do you get?
Today's celebrity birthdays, Edward James Olmos is 64 years old today. Most recently seen, I guess, in the Green Hornet film. He played the he played the head guy over there at the Daily Sentinel newspaper.
By the way, just side note, if Proactiv really works, give it to him.
Oh,
I want to see a commercial with him. Don't give it to some 20-year-old starlet. What's
acne.
He got?
He's not acne.
What's he got?
His
Has he been attacked
sandblasting.
By an octopus? What happened to him?
Yeah, he's been attacked by an octopus.
His acne was many decades ago, and it left scarring, unfortunately.
Well, let's see how good your goddamn
face.
Product is before you give it to Alicia Keys, who's like 20,
that's
okay?
For people who currently are suffering from acne, not for people who have acne scarring. Being.
So it can't help Edward James Olmos, is what
you
you're saying.
Kevin brought up sandblasting.
Hey, Gene Simmons is here. Hey, Gene Simmons.
So we're not going to need you.
Deborah Jo Rupp from That 70s Show. She is 60 years old today. Apple co-founder Steve Jobs celebrates his 56th birthday. Billy Zane celebrates his 45th. Well, who was Billy Zane's fiance for a long time there?
Kelly Brook.
Kelly Brook.
Oh, yeah. That's right, yeah.
That's right. I forgot they were an item. Actress Bonnie Somerville from NYPD Blue is 37 years old. And boxer Floyd the Money Mayweather is 34 years old today. Is he still considered a boxer if he's not boxing anybody?
I don't know.
Don't you have to actually box someone to become a boxer or to be a boxer?
I think once you were a boxer, if you announce your boxing...
Pound for pound. They say.
They say.
Best fighter in
That's
the business.
What they say.
Best fighter sitting on a couch anywhere in this country.
That's right. Pac-Man. Manny Pacquiao, others would say. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, we have an all-new program. We have Andrew Siciliano in the studio to talk some sports. We have LaQuisha taking a look at the Jersey Shore. We have the movie beat because it's Friday, and we have all things Oscar. We're going to talk to Matt Achety, who is the editor-in-chief of Rotten Tomatoes, and we're going to talk to Jimmy Kimmel about his Oscar special. Come on now.
Who are we talking to?
Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, I thought it was Jimmy.
How dare you all.